The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, it is Thursday, and it's April 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the essential businesses that remain open in Pennsylvania in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic are now ordered by the state to provide a number of protective measures for their employees starting Sunday evening, the Wolf administration announced. The order announced on Wednesday includes a requirement that all workers at the essential businesses that are still open must wear a mask, and the employer must provide or approve masks. Most customers who go inside those businesses must wear a mask as well. Businesses are ordered to deny entry to any customers who are not wearing a mask unless the business is providing medication, medical supplies, or food, in which case the business must provide alternative methods of pickup or delivery of goods. See, now I have not been wearing a mask going out, so now this is saying that I have to, or I could be denied entry into the stores.
I think. And does it constitute as well, Kathy, if you have like a protective scarf wrapped around you, or a banana, so that should get it done, right?
Right, exactly.
I'm glad this didn't happen yesterday. I went to the post office. I have a mask. Rochelle had bought us masks a little while back. They were actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Black mask.
They look really good.
And before I was, right before I was walking, because I'm not wearing it while I'm driving.
Right.
I put it on right before I was going to the post office.
You're in your car.
So I pull it out of my pocket, and right as I pull it out of the pocket, the elastic band that goes on your ear snaps and breaks.
Oh.
And I'm not going to drive all the way home and get another mask. And so I went in without the mask on, and I felt I was the only person in there without a mask on.
You feel freaky now?
I actually felt like the goofball.
Like, outward.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, oh, my God. I was at the supermarket, the same thing, Preston. I was like, I was one of three people without masks. I'm like, oh, my God.
And actually, the guy working at the post office was... He's the first person I've encountered that was a little bit militant about the rules. And I get it. I understand. But he's like, you know, stand back there. And I'm like, you mean behind the line I'm already standing behind? Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I'm already standing behind the line.
Keep standing there.
I know. I think he just kind of liked barking orders. But I was like, okay.
All keep right, being
I,
that.
I understand. You stop being that. I turned into Mel Gibson for just a moment.
I haven't really gone to the store. I haven't really gone out anywhere. I went for coffee this past weekend, and I went through a drive-thru, and it was ridiculous. Like, it was actually causing a traffic backup.
But Kathy, I've seen
it was actually
them.
Causing a traffic backup.
Because of how long the line was?
The drive-through was,
There's all a place on City Line that I mentioned this. Every Saturday morning, I guess, they're opened up, and the traffic spills right out onto City Line, up a lane. Yeah, it's crazy.
But back to the masks. Yeah, a friend of mine said that she went to the store, and she said, you know, she was kind of doing the same as me. We really haven't been wearing masks. And she said, I'm going to bring it just in case. I don't want, you know, to be the only one without it, and then people staring at me. And sure enough, she said at the grocery store, like, almost everybody had it on, and she felt obligated to wear it.
It's pretty normal right about now.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing it regularly now because if it makes people comfortable. Also,
to
the governor's point, you know, if you're going in and there are workers in the store, and God bless them, keeping the shelves stocked for them as well, you want to look out for them.
So exceptions include people who cannot wear a mask due to medical conditions and children who are under the age of 2. The order also requires businesses to stagger start and start times.
It's going to be an interesting day, Kathy.
Yes. For workers, provide sufficient space for breaks and meals to maintain social distancing, prohibit non-essential visitors, and more. The order announced by Governor Tom Wolf was signed by Secretary of Health Rachel Levine. It goes into effect at 8 p.m. on Sunday, April 19th. As many are wondering when things will go back to normal, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he does not see life going back to how it was before the coronavirus spread throughout the country. People talk about a new normal. I think that's a reality, Murphy said. The notion that we're going to go back, let's turn the clock back to 3 months ago, I just don't see it. During his press briefing Wednesday, Murphy described a new normal restaurant might be at 50% capacity with a temperature check at the door, servers wearing masks and gloves, surfaces being wiped down hyper-aggressively, and tables far apart. If they become widely available, Murphy said he could see customers taking a rapid saliva test like the one being developed at Rutgers University. That test was given FDA approval earlier this week. Murphy said based on experts' opinions, a vaccine for COVID-19 would not be available for at least 1 year, so he hopes the rapid testing will become accessible much sooner.
Wow, a saliva test.
Right? To go to a restaurant?
You're spitting this. Wouldn't that be wild if it became the norm to...
like a spittoon?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I saw this, going back to the mask thing, I saw this text from mate says, I need a mask to go buy a mask. they don't have a mask.
I wonder,
but you can use a bandana or something like that.
Are wax lips acceptable or no?
Wow, I didn't even consider that. I mean, how about those things we used at the camp out there?
Sure.
Those big
porn-looking
lips.
I have one in my computer bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
wax
don't work.
Lips should get it done, right? And a rubber nose.
In fact, those don't work because it opens your mouth up more. Yeah, that wouldn't work.
You're right. Yeah, the lip spreaders. Yeah,
go completely opposite. I thought this is what I was supposed to do, drool all over you.
Right. And pull your nostrils open. Yeah.
Montgomery County is opening a new self-swab COVID-19 testing site Thursday morning in Whitpain Township. This site, a drive-through testing location at Montgomery County Community College, is a self-testing site with each person doing their own nasal swabbing. Tests are by appointment only. Due to the limited number of available tests, they will be reserved for high-risk individuals meeting the criteria. Persons of any age with symptoms of sudden illness, first responders, healthcare workers, anyone with known or suspected direct contact to someone with COVID-19, or anyone who has been recommended by their doctor to get tested.
Yeah, Kathy, that's right next to the new do-it-yourself dental service.
And then there's a majority of the people out there who just want to know, hey, because, you know, it's very possible that you had it and showed no symptoms whatsoever. People just want, like, I'm
just curious.
Did I have it? So did I ever have it?
I forget who actually got checked, and it turned out they had it and had no symptoms.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
So it's one of those things. They actually believe, Kathy, and there's data that's making the rounds, I forget where I saw it, but that as many as possibly 30 million people could have had it and not have realized that they had it.
Yeah.
But we need to know those
scary.
People need to know. We need to know those numbers, you know, and that's what the testing is really going to provide that insight.
Yes. Well, I'm wondering how invasive this testing is, because the original testing that they have been doing or that they're still doing, I mean, goes pretty far.
The new nasal, there's a nasal variation that is just at the tip of the nose.
Okay, so this is just inside that you don't have to like jam this thing down your throat.
Right, no. They still have those.
But you know what? About a week before this all hit, when I got the flu and I went to see Dr. Mike Doody, he had to do the culture from the back of my throat thing.
Oh, man.
My God, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it. So I'm glad at least they can do the nasal swab now,
right?
Because that throat culture thing sucks.
And the saliva swab is actually a little less invasive too. It's quicker, and the results. They did it live on one of the news channels and got the results within like 5 minutes, five, six minutes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Individuals qualifying under requirements for first responders or healthcare worker status may be asked to provide proper identification. Individuals not meeting one of the above criteria or who lack the necessary documentation will be denied access to testing. So obviously these tests are limited, so they're really holding them for the people who absolutely need them.
I think it's going to be par for the course, Kathy, that if you're going out to dinner on any given night, you need to bring a stool and a urine sample with
Seriously?
You, correct?
Wow. I know. So this site will be open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday as testing supplies allow. Registration for each day's appointments will open at 8 a.m. Each morning and will remain open until all available spots are filled. Individuals can register online at moncopa.org/COVID-19. There's also a phone number available, 610-631-3000. After all time slots are filled each day, anyone attempting to register will be provided with the option to join a wait list, which will be active for that day only. This site will provide self-swab COVID-19 testing by appointment only. A person picks up the test kit from a table, swabs each nostril, puts the swab back into the tube, and then back on the table. The sample then goes off to a lab in a secure bag with no direct contact between site workers and potential patients. It cuts the risk of transmission and saves on protective gear. Now, speaking of protective gear, the Philadelphia Police Foundation purchased 50,000 KN95 masks for virus protection for the Philadelphia Police Department. The nonprofit covered the $140,000 cost in order to assist the men and women who are protecting the city in the face of the coronavirus. The masks were delivered to the police academy and will be distributed throughout the entire department. KN95 masks and other similar protective equipment are in short supply and are critical to the health and safety of first responders. The KN95 mask is an industry standard and means the mask filters above 95% of the particles in the air. There are over 6,000 active duty police officers in the department, making the Philly State Police, the fourth largest in the country. If businesses or individuals are interested in supporting the purchase of personal protection equipment for the department during the pandemic, you can contribute online at phillypolicefoundation.org, or you can also donate right from their Facebook page. In sports this morning...
Ball sacks are yummy.
Baseball Hall of Famer and former Philly Roy Halladay was doing extreme acrobatics and had high levels of amphetamines in his system when he lost control of his plane and nosedived into the Gulf of Mexico in 2017, killing him, a National Transportation Safety Board report said. Halladay had the amphetamine levels of 10 times the therapeutic levels in his blood, along with high levels of morphine and an antidepressant that can impair judgment as he performed high-pitch climbs and steep turns, sometimes within 5 feet of the water. On the last maneuver, Halladay entered a steep climb, and his speed fell to about 85 miles per hour. The propeller-driven plane then went into a nosedive and smashed into the water. The report says that Halladay, who was only 40 at the time, died of blunt force trauma and drowning. So sad.
It should not have happened.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top infectious disease expert in the country, said yesterday that the only way we'll see sports return this summer is if they are played in an empty stadium or arena and players are quarantined in hotels. One of Major League Baseball's ideas is to play the entire season with all 30 teams in Arizona, and another proposal would split the season between Florida and Arizona, as in spring training. And Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins remains hopeful that he'll be playing a football game this fall, even if that means playing in empty stadiums without fans. In an interview, Cousins said, "Honestly, we practice every day in an empty grass area and pump in fake crowd noise for away games, but more often than not, you're used to it. OTA practices don't have a lot of pomp and circumstance to them, so honestly, to go out and just play the game would kind of be refreshing, a breath of fresh air to just let us know that we don't have to have all the smoke and the fire. We can just play football." And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Just scanning the text messages, there's a lot of coming in. This one's kind of interesting. It says, "Does anyone else think that masks are making people more sexy?" It says here, "Three-Tooth Mary just became a centerfold."
Oh, my God.
I didn't think of that. I have seen some sexy riffs on masks,
though. Yeah.
There is a little video out of a girl, as she has long blonde hair. She's very pretty, and she has the mask on, and then she takes the mask off, and, like, she's got jacked-up teeth. the masks are making people hotter.
Hell, yeah.
Well, but Mama June apparently was shopping, and she's missing, like, two front teeth.
Oh,
my God. But she had the mask on, and with the mask on, she's ugly. No.
I'd like to see people make their own Casey Facey masks. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. You know what? Can you have masks made with printed?
Yes, you can.
Okay, then we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a service. Now, mind you, all the masks. And you have? Where'd you get yours from? You got them online or?
Rochelle got it weeks ago. So yeah, she ordered them online. They're really cool. They're very Darth Vader-esque, to be honest. They're black, and it has this little thing on it, this little ventilator of something. I don't know what it
is.
I
saw a guy driving, like, a big old Tahoe, right? And he had one of those masks on with his windows up. I'm like, why are you wearing the mask in your car with the windows up? I mean, he looked like a stormtrooper.
Maybe he likes
like a badass.
He wants that look. Yeah. It's the same reason I get all this tactical stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like you walk around your house, it's like you're in your car,
uh-huh.
and I'm like, after a while, like I'm in my house, I'm like, it's my wife and I. We're the only people in this house. Why am I going nuts inside my own house?
Yeah, take your precautions when you're headed out and about. So.
Like at your gangbangs.
You may want to use some extra protection at the gangbang.
Yeah, I think so.
These times of year.
You owe it to your grandparents.
All right, so we do have some stuff planned for this morning's program. It's several guests that are going to be joining us. Some information about Wawa Day. Our friend, the CEO of Wawa, Mr. Chris Geissens, will be joining us. So we'll find out what they have planned. They have actually a really cool thing that they're planning on doing. So we'll get the details from him. We also have joining us Scott Hamilton, the world famous ice skater. Dude's amazing.
He's great.
And he has this event called Blades for the Braves, Olympic and world champion figure skaters coming together to help health workers on the front lines. There's a special fundraising event. So we'll get the details from Scott later on. And we're also going to have, this is so damn cool, Donnie Most and Anson Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Ralph Mouth and Potsy.
Yeah.
Yes.
From Happy Days, the duo, the team. They were kind of the two misfits on the show.
And, always together.
Yep.
first time together since Happy Days, they have done a play, a comedic sort of dark comedy play. It's a three-person play, and it's available now.
Is that what this is, Harvest Time?
Harvest Time. So what that refers to, Preston, is Donnie is Don, as he goes by now, has a kidney that that Anson Williams wants. He's on dialysis, and they made this deal. So you're going to harvest the kidney. Right, right. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll talk to those guys around 9:30 this morning. And we mentioned yesterday it is the official reuniting of the Oneaters, or the Wonders.
Yeah.
From the movie That Thing You Do. We're going to have Steve Zahn on this morning. We've talked to Steve before, but they have a special event that they're doing together, and all the guys are getting together.
I'm so glad they're making a big thing out of this, because it deserves to be a big thing. And he just also was an occasional character on Modern Family, which just wrapped up.
Oh, that's awesome. So Steve Zahn will be joining us around 10 o'clock this morning, and all of this surrounding that will be MMR's Rock Refund. We have two chances to win $500 this
cray
morning.
Cray.
Pretty sweet deal. And I haven't even gotten into Isolation Idol. That starts next week. So I'll give you the details in a little bit. We got a break to take. We have some stuff to get into, a stupid question, some entertainment stories. Got it all for you next. Hang with us today, all right? We're doing this together on a Thursday morning. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have a digital download of Just Mercy with Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, and Brie Larson to give away for the answer to the stupid question. I really like this question, and I think you can figure this out without looking it up if you just kind of logically put the clues together, okay? So this is an interesting one. The Persian words Shah Mat, which mean the king is defeated, is the origin of what board game term?
Rimjav.
Not Rimjav. Rimjav. 215-263-WMMR. Give it to you again. The Persian words Shah Mat.
Yes.
Which means the king is defeated, is the origin of what board game term? 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call. Got a lot of birthdays to go through. We'll start with, by the way, it is the 16th of April. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go.
Celebrates his birthday today. He is 73 years old.
Legendary actor from Airplane, who later went on to do basketball.
Yes, he amazing career acting.
Surprisingly, had a resurgence in basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, one of the all time greats. Ellen Barkin, the actress, is 66. What's the show that she's on a show now? Right?
Monsters. She's the matriarch of this. Really horrific family.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it, but she's bat-ass crazy, but I've loved her in so many things. You remember her in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Sea of Love with Pacino.
Yep.
And yeah, she's great.
66 today. John Cryer, the actor.
Yes. We talked to him recently. He was doing he's playing Lex Luthor on Supergirl.
Yep. Pretty in Pink, Two and a Half Men, lots of other movies throughout his career. He's 55 today. It's also Martin Lawrence's birthday today.
So Rush Hour
3?
3? Or was that? Yeah, it's
no, was it Bad Boys?
Bad Boys. That's right. Yeah. Rush Hour. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yep, Bad Boys.
I heard it was better than people gave it credit for. That Bad Boys 3 was fun, and if you like the first two, you'll love this one.
It did well at the box office.
Yeah.
It really killed.
Nice. He's 55 today. There you go. Benedict the 16th, you don't get to say this often, former pope, is 93 years old today, because all the former popes are all dead popes.
Yeah, but he's alive, and he actually has a very successful ATV dealership.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Good on him. 93 years old and still getting out there.
It gets out there, man.
Bobby Vinton, the singer, his big hit was Blue Velvet.
Oh, my God.
She wore blue velvet.
He's depicted in Goodfellas, is he not? Isn't it Bobby Vinton that's up on the stage?
Is it?
Yeah, when they come in.
And they move the table down front.
What do you do for a living?
He's 85 today. Peter Billingsley, Ralphie. in A Christmas Story.
And co-producing partner with Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all part of the collective. Okay. Yeah.
He's 49.
Yeah, he's in the Spider-Man movie. He has a relatively big role. He's the most recent Spider-Man movie, The Far From Home. He's the bald guy. And they flash back to like the original Iron Man, which they superimposed him into that one. But he did a decent role in the last Spider-Man movie.
Did Jon Favreau direct Elf?
Yes.
He was in Elf as well.
He was in Elf as well.
Yeah. The Doctor, right?
No, he was actually like one of the elves.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. The Doctor is the guy from MASH.
You're talking about William Christopher?
Oh, no. He wasn't. Wait.
You talking about Alan Alda?
No.
The Doctor in Elf?
David Ogden Stiers?
No.
Spend some time online, Nick. Have fun over there.
Loretta,
I'm going to go to another birthday. David Pierner, the front man for Soul Asylum, is 56 today.
We always bemoan his fate. He got hooked up with Winona Ryder, and that killed his career.
That's what she has a career of that.
That's the deal, yeah.
Jimmy Osmond of the Osmonds. Was Jimmy the youngest?
He was the youngest and the most annoying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. He's 57. Lucas Haas, who was the kid in Witness, has also been in a bunch of other stuff, including Zoolander and The Revenant.
Yeah.
He is 44.
Good actor.
Gina Carano.
Oh, yeah.
Mixed martial artist.
And she's
then
awesome.
Did some acting. And in fact, she's in Deadpool. She plays Angel in Deadpool. She's also in The Mandalorian and Fast and Furious 6.
So she's going to return in The Mandalorian. She's a super badass, a martial arts chick. And she's also Henry Cavill's girlfriend. Now, the word is she is in the running to play She-Hulk, Preston, which would be pretty cool.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I actually have a story concerning She-Hulk coming up in a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the last birthday I have is Claire Foy, who played Queen Elizabeth in The Crown.
She was great.
Yep. And she's been in a number of other things as well. I do like her an awful lot. She is 36 today. All right. We'll see if we can find an answer to this question. The Persian words Shah-Mat, which mean the king is defeated, is the origin of what board game term? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Craig for the answer. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Craig. All right, what board game term are we talking about here?
Checkmate.
There you go.
Shah-Mat.
I thought it was Shah-Mat.
Is checkmate, meaning the king is defeated. So I thought that was pretty cool. A little question for you this morning. Craig, for you, we're going to give you a digital download of Just Mercy, starring Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, Brie Larson, based on the powerful and inspiring true story that follows lawyer Brian Stevenson and his history-making battle for justice to defend an innocent man. Own the original movie now on Blu-ray, by the way. Digital and Blu-ray. All right, so we'll start talking about Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro. They have offered a chance for a fan to get a walk-on role in their upcoming film, Killers of the Flower Moon, directed by Martin Scorsese.
That's pretty awesome.
The winner will spend a day on the set and be able to go to the premiere, and this is all part of the All-In Challenge, which we spoke about yesterday, and more celebs are getting on board. We have audio, I believe. Is it sent over?
Yeah.
De Niro and DiCaprio. Who take the All-In Challenge. Has that been sent over, Marissa? Okay. Should be in there. So Case is going to locate
just play
that.
Rim job, if not.
We'll hear a little clip.
When did it come over?
Should be this morning.
Okay. Not yet, but all we right. still... I mean, while we wait, we have a... We have a Martin Lawrence thing.
I can listen to that all day.
Yeah.
By the way, the All-In Challenge, Meals on Wheels, No Kid Hungry, and America's Food Fund are dispersing the donations. Now DiCaprio and De Niro challenge Matthew McConaughey, Ellen DeGeneres, and Jamie Foxx. And here's that clip.
Hello, this is Leo.
Hi, this is Bob.
And we're accepting the All-In Challenge.
Our most vulnerable communities need our support now more than ever.
Bob and I are going to be starring in a film called Killers of the Flower Moon. If you ever wondered what it was like to be able to work with the great Martin Scorsese, this is your chance.
We want to offer you a walk-on role. You'll spend the day on the set with the three of us. And, of course, you'll attend the premiere.
Pretty cool deal, man.
Yeah, listen, to hang out with, I think Scorsese is probably, and DiCaprio. I really, after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I mean, I liked DiCaprio before that, but I think those guys would be fun to hang out with. I'm not so sure about De Niro. He might be a little more quiet, you know, but the other guys would be, I think, a good time.
Yeah. By the way, Nick, the Doctor in Elf was Jon Favreau. People are texting.
Yeah, there's a deep dive that we can go into when we need some time to kill where my brain was, or we could just go on with the rest of the show.
We'll go on with the rest of the show, and maybe we'll dive into that melon later on, Nick.
Listen, melon.
DeGeneres accepted the challenge, by the way, from Leo and Bob.
Bobby
said that she and wife Portia de Rossi will donate $1 million to the fund and is offering an opportunity for fans to donate and win co-hosting duties on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Could she give them a gorilla? Doesn't she have that gorilla reserve there?
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
She then challenged Justin Timberlake and Laura Dern. McConaughey also, it says McDonaghy.
McDonaghy
also accepted the offer and offered fans a chance to join him at the University of Texas football game. He then challenged Jimmy Kimmel and Jonah Hill. Other stars have recently put together major fundraisers, including Octavia Spencer, Amy Carpenter, Leslie Feldman, Melissa McCarthy, husband Ben Falcone.
Wow.
They're teaming up with Frontline Foods to deliver meals to hospitals from nearby restaurants across the country. So this is a brilliant idea to challenge other celebrities. Stuff like this has existed before, but challenging other celebrities, calling them out,
yes,
it's pretty awesome.
So
man.
It's basically the Ice Bucket Challenge meets Omaze.
Yeah.
And it's a great idea.
Yep, agreed. Let's see, who else we want to talk about? How about this? Cameron Diaz. She and her husband, Benji Madden, welcomed their first child together in December. And as far as she's concerned, their life in quarantine is okay. Diaz hopped on Instagram Live with her friend, Who What Wear Chief Executive Officer Catherine Power, and admitted that not much had changed, actually. She said, I've kind of been living a quarantine life anyhow because I have a three-month-old or a three-and-a-half-month-old, she said. So my life has been, like, completely quiet and still for the last few months.
She's pretty much giving up acting, right? Wasn't that the last thing we heard from her?
Mm-hmm.
She's loving the mommy life?
Yep. She called being a mom to baby Radix the best part of my life, adding that she is grateful and so happy. She said, after we do bath time with our baby and we put her to sleep, Benji puts her to bed. He's so good. He's such an amazing father. I'm so lucky. He's my baby's father. He's incredible.
By the way, where did she meet Benji Matt? I mean, you wonder these circles that they operate in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I don't know. I don't know the story of where they first met and how they hit it off or anything like that. But they're a success story.
Yeah,
so
they absolutely are.
Gwyneth Paltrow is quarantining with her 15-year-old daughter, Apple, her 14-year-old son, Moses, and her husband, Brad Falchuk, and things are getting real.
Oh, man. Do tell.
While Gwyneth homeschools her teens, they're homeworking her. Apple gave her mom a list of work goals, which Gwyneth shared on social media. And one of them, apparently, it was advised from Apple to, quote, make more vagina eggs and candles.
Oh. Vagina.
Uh-huh. And her celeb pals encouraged Apple's turn toward entrepreneurism. Mindy Kaling wrote, ha, 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 she's a genius.
Ha, 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 ha. Those vagina-smelling candles sold out instantly.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And the vagina eggs, I can't believe those still exist.
You know what? I love the butthole gravy boat.
Wow.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, everybody's got their thing. All right. So you mentioned She-Hulk a moment ago, Steve. Mark Ruffalo is ready for the Hulk to go big. Speaking to Variety, the Avengers Endgame star said that he hopes to bring Bruce Banner and his alter ego to fans in a standalone film.
Oh!
Isolate that, Steve.
Well, listen, I want, just like you, I want a really good Hulk movie.
I want a straight up freaking Hulk movie.
Because all the standalone Hulk movies have been like,
Let's do it again.
He told Variety, we never really followed him into his life. He's always kind of off on the side. He's like, and then Steve, you're going to have to help me with these names. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of the Avengers.
Yes.
Any idea?
I should, and I did, and I don't, and I don't.
I have no idea who those are.
I believe they are, I think.
Rosencrantz I've heard of before.
And Guildenstern.
They're characters in Hamlet. I didn't know that.
That's it. Okay. It was a Jeopardy question the other night, and that's why I was trying to remember it. Thank you, Nick. Thank you for all that you bring to us.
Well, the Hulk is like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
By the way, Nick just pulls that off the top of his head.
He does.
Yeah. But Rosencrantz, wasn't he the doctor in Elf, Nick?
That's Favreau.
Oh, okay.
It'd be interesting to fill in all the blanks about what happened to him in between all these movies, he said. Ruffalo also teased a Banner Hulk appearance in the Disney Plus series She-Hulk. Taika Waititi.
Yes.
Ruffalo's director, in Thor Ragnarok, said that Ruffalo has a distinct vision for Hulk. He said he has very strong opinions about what Hulk would say and how he would say it. People assume, oh, well, it's a CGI character. Why would an actor do the movements? But he insisted on doing all the work in motion capture. All that stuff is him dressed in those ridiculous pajamas that you have to wear with ping pong balls on his head.
And that's why it looks so freaking good. Yeah. You want to talk about a character that reads as real. That one did.
And in Endgame, especially, when he learns how to be both characters at the same time, it took it to a whole other level. It was awesome.
Yep.
So he is and it does happen in the comics where he does have that. He becomes that sort of Professor Hulk. But She-Hulk is also smart and capable and conversive.
I love in Endgame when they're in the restaurant and you see the Hulk like that and the kids come over for a picture and everything. And as they're leaving, it's just so weird to hear him saying, listen to your mother.
Yeah. Right?
She knows what she's talking about.
Come on.
It's the Hulk saying that.
Yeah. Come on. It's hilarious. Ant-Man.
Come on. Although Hulk in Ragnarok is, I think, my favorite version of all the Hulks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle, a bestie of Ruffalo's and co-star in Avengers, said that they bonded over their forced wearing of unitards. He said, Mark and I get to share the misery. Everyone else is walking around in their cool clothes. Mark and I are walking around in these unitards with symbols and dots and balls attached all over them. Mark has it worse than anyone because he has to wear that rig over his face. And this is cool, Steve. The 52-year-old has appeared in five films as Hulk. In addition to wanting an opportunity to play him in a standalone film, he'd also like to see him team up with Wolverine.
Yes.
And Hugh Jackman.
That's a classic battle. I don't know if they could bring, battle and friendship at a point.
Well, the very first appearance of Wolverine was in a Hulk issue, and he showed up. And that's what was interesting about him because he was so small compared to Hulk, and yet he was able to.
To hold his own.
Yeah. So
I would love to see that. They have been talking for the longest while. Now Hugh Jackman has stepped away from it about redoing it and bringing in actually a Wolverine based more on the original source material, a smaller guy with that classic costume and the whole thing. I kind of would like to see that too.
Yeah, because Wolverine was like 5'5". He was this tiny guy. He was broad, but he was small. And that's the thing, because the Wolverine, the animal itself, will... They've been known to take on a bear.
Right.
They don't back down from anything. So that was the nature of the character.
Do you know who they were talking about for a while to play Wolverine in this new iteration? Scott Conn.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, he's just a little guy.
Yeah. James Conn's son.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. And he's a smaller dude, too.
He is, he's just a little guy.
Interesting.
he's just a little guy.
Let's go to Kim Kardashian.
No!
Oh, my God.
She's getting honest. So you're saying you want to hear about it?
Yeah, I kind of want to hear this.
She's getting honest about the realities of balancing motherhood, work, law school, and more while social distancing at home. I know.
I'm going to law school.
She says
in
an interview about taking care of North Chicago Saint and Psalm. She said there are, and by the way, their ages are 6, 2, 4, and 10 months.
Yeah.
There are so many days I don't even brush my hair or get to shower, as it's a different type of task when you're now having to homeschool your kids and figure it all out.
It's such a handful, wrangling the nannies who wrangled the teachers who wrangled the kids.
They got to have people living with them, right?
I don't know. I would assume they would. Yeah. I don't think that they can handle all they need to handle.
Like we talked about earlier, like if you started out when this all went into place with somebody in your house, it's okay now at this point.
So she did a PSA, a video for Gavin Newsom, the governor, California. And they got it and he was putting it up on his site and she's there doing the thing. And one of the kids is behind her, Kim Kardashian, getting in the video and all that stuff. And it looks like accidentally staged, you know.
Oh, okay.
I can't say a handful.
She said, my hair is a mess. And I think I've put on makeup twice, so it felt really good. I felt really good those days.
She was completely made up, and her hair was perfect.
I felt like a whole different person when I finally got up and got it together.
I felt so ugly. I felt like Chloe. I was all bloated and ugly, and I thought, this must be what Chloe feels like.
Steve, did you see the More You Know with Kim Kardashian?
Yeah,
on NBC? And so,
look, we all have our opinions about Kardashian, but this one, I don't think I've ever seen her look more plastic. And what really threw me off, and I don't know if they can pull it up in the studio, but I was completely distracted by
her
eyebrows.
You get distracted, Nick. Yes.
Her eyebrows are so immense and fake and sculpted. Kathy, it's like looking at a mannequin.
Well, and there's probably, I don't know about now, but there's probably Botox above it. You know what I mean? So it like lifts it even more.
So if you look at this one that she did for the state of California and for social distancing, she looks completely plastic in that one too, Nick. She's actually a pretty woman, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
But I don't know why that look is so desired. Here, Preston, take a look at this.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the content of The More You Know? What was she learning us?
It was social distancing. It was, you know, it was a current events kind of a thing. And they used a bunch of Latino actors and actresses. Yeah. And, you know, it was a good message to spread. So I don't even hate this person.
Neither do I.
I just get thrown off by the appearance more than anything.
Yeah, the look.
The message, Casey, was The More You Know, it's going to be more than I know.
Okay.
All right. So speaking with Ellen DeGeneres, Jason Momoa has said that his wife, Lisa Bonet, is handling the homeschooling. And he is, quote, like the P.E. coach. He said, you know what I mean? He said, I want to go rock climbing, skateboard, but that's about it. He said he's having a pretty special time with his family. He said, we've got skateboard ramps and climbing walls and throwing tomahawks and shooting bow and arrow. And so we have a little bit of space. I feel very thankful. It's nice to be at home because I'm never at home. And then we have a clip of him talking about he's a big Black Sabbath fan.
Huge.
As well. Here we go.
Massive, massive Black Sabbath fan. I wanted to go to their last concert in Birmingham, and I had tickets, and a friend got me hooked up through Sharon, and then our dog passed, and I flew home from London, and I missed the last Sabbath show. Obviously, I want to be there with my family, so it's just a bummer. And then they gave me a call, and she just remembered that I was a big fan, and Sharon called me and asked if I would help out Ozzy and do like a little promo, and I was like, kidding me?
Ah, that's awesome. I love that guy.
Really? Yeah, he's really great. Cool. And so are they in Hawaii? Is that where they are?
Good question. I know he spends a lot of time there because he's from there,
right? He is from there, yeah.
I don't know if they live there or not, Steve.
That's a good place to quarantine.
Yes, it is. Hey, so Bruce Willis, we know that he and his ex-wife Demi Moore quarantined together with their three daughters, prompting speculation about his marriage to Emma Hemingwillis, but things are apparently great, a source tells People Magazine.
Oh, it's great!
They share Mabel and Evelyn, but they consider themselves an extended family.
Yeah.
The family source says Demi and Emma are close, and all three get on great as a big blended family. There's no issues at all.
Yeah, we're just thick as thieves.
Emma needed to stay in L.A. with the young kids, so that's why.
So he's with that family, and the question, obviously, and everyone's asking.
Yeah.
But they are separated, but, you know, I don't. But that does raise the question. I think, Nick, you posed it in those pictures where they're all there together as a family. Who's taking those pictures?
Yeah, good question.
Probably on a tripod.
Maybe they have a tripod.
Everyone's got a tripod.
Maybe they have a tripod, Kathy.
Everyone's got a tripod and a light. Mine's getting delivered on Friday.
Oh, it is.
Jigsaw puzzles are selling out, and Hollywood stars like Hugh Jackman, Ellen DeGeneres, Sean Hayes, and others are contributing to the old-fashioned gaming boom.
I think the governor should step in and forbid them.
Stop it. They're awesome. We knocked a 1,000-piecer out a few days ago.
Did you?
Yeah, it's time to get started on another one. I love it.
You're better people than I am. I don't have the patience.
I find it very relaxing. It is enjoying. You put on some music and it just, you know, it's an exercise of the mind. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool.
I like to sip brandy and play my cello.
Warner Media Chief Robert Greenblatt tells a Hollywood Reporter that there's something zen about puzzles. There you go. He's quoting me. Adding that he often plays with Hayes or Melissa Etheridge.
Mm.
He said, we're constantly glued to our devices these days, but doing a puzzle is a hugely different way of using the mind.
Speaking of the glue issue, do you, when you are done with the puzzle, do you glue it and put it in a picture frame?
Not at all.
And put it up next to your decorative plates?
We'll take a photo of it, and we'll let it sit out for a few days and kind of admire it, and then we take it apart and put it away and start a new one. Because I don't need more stuff hanging on the walls. But you can always go back and revisit it sometime.
What about next to your collectible spoons and thimbles?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think they take up all the space, though.
That's another thing that's sold out. I was, after Casey talked about his tiger puzzle, I was like, oh, I'm going to get a puzzle. I'll work on that. You can't get them anywhere.
Really?
You want my tiger puzzle? You can have it.
Yeah, maybe.
We got lucky. Tag it! Because a few weeks before the pandemic hit, I got a knack to start puzzles, because we do it as a family activity. You just kind of leave it out, and it takes a few days to do it. And you go start picking at it, and a few other people will come around, and next thing you know, it's a whole, everybody's working on it. It's kind of a fun thing to do. So I went out and bought a bunch of them, and so we had them.
So how come you can do that? So the system works flawlessly with puzzles, but yet there's strife with Lego.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's the same thing.
It's more
tactile,
covetous, I guess, of who finishes it or something. I don't know why. Because it's 3D and you can handle it, and you know whatever.
It's more satisfying. It's,
yeah, something about that. I don't
By
know.
By the
what
way,
it is.
I've gotten more. Like people think that I'm buying these for you. That I have more requests as to where you got the Saturn. What'd you get? The Saturn V.
Yeah. No, you had gotten me the Saturn V rocket.
Oh, you mentioned that on the air. That's why
I mentioned it for my 50th birthday. Steve got me this badass, awesome. Model, and it's awesome. But this the Lego thing is very impressive too.
Where did you get that?
Rochelle had ordered them online. So right now Parker's working on a Yoda, which is about 2 feet tall. It's
so my baby Yoda's coming soon. By the way,
about 2 feet tall it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What
you said it like Yoda?
Yes. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, two feet tall.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
2 feet tall it is.
Let's see. Guy Fieri is cooking up shows in quarantine. The celebrity chef is fronting Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives Takeout, a three-part run of the show filmed remotely. On April 24th, Guy will check in with Triple D Chef All-Stars virtually to see how they're holding up. And each chef will guide him through an at-home rendition of their key meals. So you should probably try to reach out to him, talk to him.
We should, because that's a great idea. I've been doing the takeout thing is a great way to get the food that you love and help keep these restaurant workers getting some sort of income coming in.
Triple D, he said, has always been about hitting the road and celebrating the hardworking folks of the restaurant business. And while the restaurant's partially closed and the Camaro is parked, Triple D Takeout is here to show you how your favorite chefs are still cooking it up to keep people fed, support the communities, their families, and their employees.
Besides the Memphis Tap Room, which we ate at.
Love it.
Have you ever eaten at a diner, a Triple D place that he's been to?
I might have and not known it, okay. But the Memphis Tap Room is the only one I know conclusively that was on Diners, Drives, and.
Yeah, because if you are in a city, you can actually go to their website and you can, you know, find out where he has been in and around that city. I've been to a couple of his places.
Okay. You know, Fieri is actually, you know who he's buddies with? Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
And then Stallone
brought
Pacino over to Fieri's house. I mean, come on.
Come on.
I know.
Come on.
So that means we're kind of friends with Al Pacino then.
We're dear friends with Al Pacino now.
Yeah.
Just the same way we are with Bradley Cooper.
All right, you know what? We better skip over to the cliffs. In the Dark follows a young blind woman as she tries to solve her friend's murder. In this clip, Perry Matfeld discusses the research she did to prepare for her role. Here we go.
I have a blind consultant who's with me all the time. Her name's Lori Burnson. The story about In the Dark was inspired by things from her life. So then I spent about 3 weeks just shadowing blind people.
I don't give a f-.
There was a show years ago, do you remember, called Long Street, Preston?
No.
He was a blind detective.
Okay.
And Bruce Lee had taught him to do some fighting for the TV series.
Okay.
The show stunk. No. That was pretty good, actually.
In the Dark airs tonight, 9 o'clock, and that's on the CW. Here's the next clip. Mental Samurai.
Ah.
Features contestants answering trivia questions while being moved around by a large robot arm.
This is with Rob Lowe, right?
Yep. Yeah. In this clip, Rob Lowe discusses being pitched the idea for the show. Here we go.
So I'm a huge fan of American Ninja Warrior. So it's the same people that created that. And they came to me and were like, all right, how do we build an obstacle course for the mind? And I was like, that's great because I love trivia. I'm really good. I'm brutal. Trivial Pursuit, I will whip your butt.
John Stamos.
No, it's Rob Lowe.
Oh.
Mental Samurai airs tonight, 9 o'clock, and that is on Fox, and that is my report.
There is a show coming up, just to jump in here quickly. I've seen the commercial for it a couple times, and I am massively intrigued. Have you seen the commercials for this show, Tag?
Nope.
Okay, it is like...
What's it about?
So you take American Gladiators, but the competition is Tag. You're running through a course... And they come running after you to try to tag you before you complete the course.
You had me at American Gladiators.
There you go. Yeah.
God, do I miss that show.
It's a great show. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
All right. Very cool. Tag. I'll have to keep an eye out for that one. All right. Well, welcome to Thursday. If you're just getting going, we're happy to have you on board. The sun is shining. We have several different things taking place on our program today. We got a lot of guests on the show. We are going to have Scott Hamilton, the world-famous ice skater.
Yes.
There's a charity event coming up. A lot of people are promoting charity events. We totally dig that. We also have, from Happy Days, I can't believe it, both Ralph Mouth and Potsy. Don Most and Anson Williams will be on our show together this morning.
They've done a project. It's the first thing they've done together since Happy Days.
Yep. The Wonders are getting back together from that thing you do. So we'll have Steve Zahn, who is the guitarist in the band. And they have an event that's going on. I think it's Friday. But we'll talk to Steve about that, which is very cool. And we also had the CEO and friend of the show, Chris Geisens, joining us to give us a little bit of information about Wawa Day, which is coming up. And he will share all that with you. And then we have two chances to win $500.
Come on.
We're going to get that started in less than an hour, 8 o'clock. Your first chance to win with MMR's Rock Refund. So a lot to hang out for this morning. We hope you will do that very thing. And I want to thank our friends, Deli on 4th, for dropping off their Godfather hoagies today, made with Deetam Watson, Gabagool, Genoa Salami, Saprasata. Prosciutto and sharp provolone topped with lettuce, tomato, onion, roasted red peppers and oregano and oiled rolls. So we appreciate.
Is that the Kanji deli?
Yeah. Is that in Kanji?
Yep.
Yeah. Deli on 4th in Kanji.
Yay!
Yeah. All right. So
that's within walking distance of Kathy. That means she'll never go to it.
Yeah. All right. So thank you to them. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We have a new Daily Rush video that's out.
What is it?
Yeah, it is titled Casey's Most Punchable Jeopardy Faces. And the description is Casey reflects on which Jeopardy goat he'd like to punch.
Hmm.
So if you'd like to see that video, I haven't seen it yet. It was a little while back. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. And it is sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. Kathy had mentioned earlier this morning that what's the mandatory situation on masks that the governor had announced, Kathy?
Yeah, so starting on Sunday, in order to enter a business, an essential business that is staying open, you have to be wearing a mask, including all of the employees, which that they seem to be doing that already. But now if we're leaving the house and we're going somewhere to go to the grocery store or something like that, we'll have to wear masks as well.
I was thinking about this at this. We were going to, you know, chit-chat about this and a few other, you know, quarantine-type issues and so on. But
Steve. Is this Quarantine Corner?
I think it's Quarantine Corner.
Or Corona Corner.
Either one. It's a Corona activity.
Corona.
So what about, like, superhero masks? And I was trying to think of which ones would make for a good
Iron Man.
That's what I was thinking.
Iron Man.
Full-on Iron Man helmet.
You got it going on, man. So I have the Rocketeer helmet. But
it's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, but it's got a grid in the front.
Well, you could wear a little... little mask over now, just the mouth part.
A little surgical mask over
now,
with the fin.
Now is the cosplays person's time, right?
Come on.
This is it.
Link.
You can walk around in full public and not have to worry about standing out.
Deadpool.
You know? Yeah.
Steve,
Deadpool.
What about Spider-Man?
Bane?
Bane is perfect. Bane was built for the coronavirus.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I can't put my hand over my face like I normally do because it's not correct.
Yeah, but he...
Because I'm protected.
He's perfect for that.
It's part of the New World Order.
It is, actually.
Come over to my house later on. I'm making bat soup.
but yes, Spider-Man would work, obviously. Batman wouldn't.
Though the Batman Beyond would, because he has a facial plate that comes down over his chin. RoboCop would not, because RoboCop has his chin exposed.
Darth Vader would work.
Darth Vader's was made for viruses.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is burn your body and then get into a cybernetic unit.
And then a few other from the Star Wars.
R2-D2.
Yeah.
Just get in an R2-D2 costume.
Boba Fett.
Perfect.
Stormtrooper.
Mandalorian.
Stormtrooper. Yep, exactly.
So all of these costumes, which I'm sure, Kathy, you have a lot of them at home.
I basically have every single one. We had our Batarang delivered the other day.
Nice. Oh, really? Oh, is he big into Batman?
Well, now, because he's watching some movies, obviously, now that we're home. So at night he watches a movie. And so now he's just starting to get back into Batman. He was when he was much younger. Now we're getting back into
it. All right. I love that kid.
We're getting some really good suggestions on the text. Winter Soldier. The mouth.
Duh. Yes. And a perfect silver arm if you want to really complete it.
Yeah, totally. Star-Lord.
Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Dude, Guardians of the Black Galaxy. Panther.
The Black Panther.
We have the full. Yeah, we have that.
Listen, that is a clarion call to cosplayers all over the place.
I'm gonna buy a mask. I'm gonna go play superhero. Every
day. Actually have a full Black Panther mask at home.
Do you?
I do.
Oh,
can I have it?
What now? When I need it more than ever in these uncertain times?
Yeah,
Kathy, you bought a Batarang.
Yeah,
for Jace.
Not for me.
I know, but like you allowed him to have one. That's what I mean.
How's he gonna fight off people, right, Kathy?
Yeah, it's not like it's plastic. It's not like it's some dangerous.
It's not real. It's not real. So let me ask you though, to that point, Kathy, or do you think there would be any blowback if I were to go in with my full Black Panther mask into my Acme? Would that serve the purpose? If you can get away with a scarf around your mouth. Why not a Black Panther mask?
So we were just saying the other day how putting those masks on, like you almost feel like you're going in to rob the place. So I would imagine that if everyone started to go in full costume, I'm not sure that they would like that.
Well, Dennis Miller used to have a thing in his bit in his routine, Kathy, about what if you're a bank teller in Anchorage, Alaska, and everyone's wearing a ski mask?
Right, right. You could go old school and be like, you know, do like Jesse James.
Yeah.
You know, like there's the bandana pulled down here and a cowboy
like
hat.
A hoagie.
Mm-hmm. Somebody pointed out the Predator helmet.
Perfect.
Yeah, right.
And then because you also have those air things when he disconnects.
Yep. Master Chief.
Master Chief is perfect.
From Halo. Sub-Zero and Scorpion if you want to go to Mortal Kombat.
Yes. Get over here.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
That was Scorpion.
Get over here. I'd love that game.
I love it. I have to say I'm not hating the mask thing. It is kind of interesting. And
I was digging the masks, Preston. They started releasing them. It was more for motorcycle enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And they were selling. I'm like, if I bought one of those.
I bided
that, would I look stupid in it?
Mm-hmm. When I had my long hair last year, I bought all these buffs. And so now I have, like, and they're all, you know.
They're buffs.
Like, if you remember
Buffers.
From Survivor,
yeah.
They could be, you could either wear them around your neck.
Okay, sure.
A lot of times people who, like, do dirt biking and stuff like that will wear a buff.
I actually have, that's what I have in my car as a standby. I just didn't know what's called a buff.
Reminded me. I have those because for hiking in cold weather, I just pull it up over my nose.
Are they different than a balaclava? Are they the same thing?
Balaclava is a little bit different.
It's like a honey dessert dish.
And it's a little bit,
Baklava.
But I'm a little, it's a little more rigid.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Right?
Casey, what were you going to say?
No, I have like four different ones of those, and they're all fish related and stuff. But
you mean like actual fish or the band?
Nah, the band, the greatest band ever.
Why are you wearing a trout on your face?
Yeah, what's with the marlin over there? You know what you could do? You could do this, and it wouldn't look out of the ordinary right now. Casey, you could wear the full Green Man costume to go grocery shopping.
Preston,
you could do that.
Could turn out that the pandemic is the funnest thing ever.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, outside of all the
outside
people
of all the ass and the disease and the destruction and the destroying our economy, you can wear masks. No,
Steve, what? A Rorschach mask.
Rorschach's perfect.
One that actually moves. They do make them that actually do that movement.
I tried to get one on Amazon, and I couldn't find one.
Yeah, I saw they were kind of an ad on Instagram. It popped up, and Casey had showed it to me.
Yeah.
But I never did the follow-through on ordering it, but that would be pretty cool.
Or a scream mask.
What?
The scream mask.
Scream, yes.
Freddy Krueger.
Well, there's not really a mask, but
well, you know, just burn your face.
Just burn your face really bad.
Well, so they have, because of like the Green Man and the those what do you call it, like spandex type masks. They have, like scary monstery masks and stuff like that you can just throw over your face.
Somebody pointed out Shredder. from
Shredder.
Teenage Mutant Ninja
Oh, my God. Did you, Preston, speaking of which, on Saturday Night Live, they did Middle-Aged Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, it was great.
Okay.
So it's all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that have now grown up, and they all have, like, kids and stuff like that.
Middle-Aged Ninja Turtles.
Did you see it?
I did. It was great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that, Preston.
No, I was just curious. I thought you might have more.
Do you have a joke? Do you have a joke? You
want to write? Really, I don't have a joke.
Okay.
That's all right.
So somebody else had pointed out the Gimp mask from Pulp Fiction.
Honestly, if so, if you're into BDSM, right? Is that the whole deal?
Yeah.
If you have any of those masks, like the canine mask.
Ant-Man, these are good suggestions. Hannibal Lecter, except he, like...
Now, there's a grid.
Yeah, like the like Rocketeer.
Yeah, the Rocketeer. There's unless you do put a surgical mask over it.
Yes.
And then you're double masked.
Interesting. So, some ideas for you this morning.
Cosplay.
Other things in Corona activities, which these aren't really activities, but these are just Corona-related.
Corona Corner.
This is interesting. This year's high school juniors may finally do what they've often dreamed of, and that is kiss their college prep books goodbye. An increasing number of universities are dropping the SAT and ACT requirement for fall of 2021 admissions in response to the pandemic.
If all I had to do when I was in college was unleash a deadly virus
to avoid your SATs,
I would have done it.
But they're going to have to because they canceled the testing. So these kids can't
test. Yeah, there's the, honestly, and how would you, how would you exert proper control over administering a test online?
You can't.
You can't. Yep.
No, there's just, you know, you have to gather. I remember when we took ours, you know, a lot of them were like in large group rooms or in a cafeteria or the gym or whatever. I don't think there's any way they can administer these tests without fear of cheating.
And Nick, I saw a funny, you talk about, you know, when people do the best of intentions. I don't know if you saw the meme going around yesterday. It was at some store and they had a couple of ATM machines lined up. And so they're lined up, and 6 feet back is a little block telling people who are waiting to use the ATM how far back they need to stand. However, there's about a half a foot space between the person to the side of you.
Exactly. Well, the virus doesn't go sideways.
Doesn't go sideways.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, ACT Incorporated, they're the the College Board, the company behind the ACT and SAT, like Kathy said, had canceled administrations of the exams until June, and that may be pushed back further. We'll see, which prompted a record number of colleges and universities to suspend the standardized testing requirements or make it optional. In total, about 51 universities and colleges have dropped the ACT's SAT requirements for at least fall of 2021.
I took the...
Let me give you a list real quick of how many. So Boston University, these are some of them. Tulane, Oregon Public Universities, University of Washington, Scripps College, Northeastern University, Texas Christian University, and a bunch of others joined the list.
So I remember taking the prep test, and then I took the SAT twice because they always recommended that, or at least they recommended to all of us that we do it twice just to see what we could do. It sucked. And then we in New York had to take, Kathy, did you take the Regents test as well?
Remember my cousins. I was down in Pennsylvania to take those tests, but I remember my cousins taking them.
Yeah, so Regents were, so you'd take it like in English and Regents math and Regents, you know.
Was that going all through grade school?
No, that was in high school.
That was actually high school?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember taking standardized tests in high school. What do you guys think you would get in the SATs if you took it today?
40?
Is there a negative score?
Yeah. I think I could probably, no, because you could get your name right. That was always like the, I'm not sure
I'd do that.
Right. The PSSAs were also canceled. You know, my son's in seventh grade. And so, you know, even for middle school kids, a lot of these tests were canceled. But I also wanted to ask, because I live near Villanova University, a lot of these kids that are in college now went home in the middle of the semester thinking that they might come back at some point.
Right.
And so all of the dorm rooms, as far as I can tell, still seem like they're fully furnished, like all the kids' stuff is there.
We should go steal their stuff is what you're
saying.
Right,
right. What I'm saying is, like, are those dorms locked and getting, like, how much money is it?
How much money would you have to pay somebody to get in there?
When will they go back and get their stuff? Will they be allowed to do it en masse?
Some schools, no. Well, some schools were sending them in. I forget. I think it might have been Westchester. I can't remember, Kathy.
It was sort of like a rolling schedule.
50 at a time.
Yeah.
And they had 20 minutes to pack up their room and get out. And then the next round of kids were coming in.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Nick, I wouldn't doubt it if a lot of those dorms are still because we've sort of been in a stasis not knowing how things were going to play out. Some colleges, I think allowed students back around the
well,
the country.
They did for a moment. But
yeah, I don't know if they rescinded that.
That lasted. That was at the onset, and some of these were like, you know, come on, we're not going to do this, and I think
we're going to do this.
Changed their mind. Yes.
Even our kids, though, I mean, not as much as a dorm room, but like, you know, our kids have stuff at school still. At some point, they're going to have to be able to get let in to go get their stuff, their things.
My paste.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can do it. You can schedule it so that everybody's not on the campus at the same time.
Yeah.
You can schedule it so you can go back and get your stuff.
Oh, my God. If I was a junior and this was looming over my head and knew that I didn't have to do it, it would be so awesome.
So if you're looking for good news, at least on that level, because it did suck. You had to divert. For us, I mean, at the time I was in school, they put the weight of the importance of the SAT.
Yeah.
Oh, you better do well or your life will be destroyed.
Somebody says, if only Lori Loughlin would have waited. Her young kid could have waived the test scores.
Yeah.
And then somebody else says, wait, what? My son took SATs in early March and got a 1470. So it could mean nothing?
Well, no. It'll still mean something.
It'll mean quite a bit, actually. Yeah. So.
They just still won't require, put that test score in no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. They just won't require college entrance exams, won't require the SATs or the ACTs, right? That's what you're saying, Preston?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. But it's still a nice feather in your cap, so lie and say you got a 14.7.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah. 1,500 is perfect, right?
Yeah.
1,600.
See, we're so stupid, we don't know what a perfect score is.
Exactly. Don't say we. I knew it was 16.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Say anything.
Yeah.
Did not.
Yes, I did. I totally said. Yes, I did. Yes, huh?
Infinity. No, you didn't.
You can't triple-save a double-stamp.
Lloyd!
Can't triple-save a double-stamp, Lloyd. All right, anyhow. Now, another thing that people are missing out on is going to be some activities like prom, which, you know, now it's a Corona activity, I guess. But, so you can fire that
Play
up.
The song.
Corona activities.
Yeah.
Which people are going crazy over this stuff.
This is you want to talk about it. One of almost what you earn for going to school is the prom. The prom's a little bit of a payoff for your scholastic career, not an education. That means nothing. No, the prom does carry so much weight.
Well, this guy in Phoenix has a pretty solid idea. He's a general manager of Nick's Menswear. His name is Josh Fink, and he came up with a pretty solid idea about a month ago, and he hopes it'll be a win-win for high school students who feel prom was taken away from them. It's called Promchella. The event is described as a two-day music festival with DJs, music acts, food trucks, local vendors that culminates with an evening fireworks show, and they're scheduling it for mid-July, assuming that the restrictions for large gatherings will be lifted by them. But if not, you know, they can push something further back like that. But
Promchella, outdoors.
Maybe have something down the road.
Yeah.
At least. Now, the difference being, you know, prom is just your school.
Yeah.
And then if you go to this big event where there's multiple schools.
It's like going to Coachella.
It's like going to Coachella.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
A little bit different. But you know what? Listen.
It's like prom stock.
People are kicking around ideas, and some things maybe will be put in place that will at least celebrate what could have been, you know. So
John Krasinski is going to host a prom tomorrow night on his Some Good News network on YouTube. So he's going to DJ it and have guest DJs, and it's a virtual prom that's going to be available for people to access on YouTube. And is it the same? No, of course not. But it's a way for you to gather and maybe have some fun.
Part of prom, though, was, you know, a lot of times that was it was a romantic encounter. So.
Yeah,
unless you can convince your sister,
yeah.
Like you had a whole other experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Mom, can I make love to you tomorrow night?
Oh my God!
Come on! Don't be that way.
So prom, I mean, in my house, it's not really been a big
thing.
So,
but Caroline, I assume Caroline would feel it the most, and she's not at that age yet.
Yeah,
right?
She's turning 13 in a couple weeks.
So she'll have hers. But I mean, if you've invested all that time and all that school and all that, hey, we're working towards prom, and then you get that pulled out from underneath you. But as we said before, you'll be part of this bizarre experience. You'll be that class.
Yeah, exactly. What
Kathy? That didn't get a prom or graduation. But like some of the girls, you know, already purchasing their dresses. I mean, you know, you know that prom's coming up. You know, so you're keeping an eye out your entire senior year for, you know, this amazing dress.
Yeah, I got a text from somebody just now, Kathy, who said their daughter spent $600 on a dress. So
see what the return.
I'll buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll buy it from them.
You'll buy it
if it's my size.
Yeah, only if it's your size. It makes sense. All right. What else is in the pandemic file here? All right. A third of cable subscribers may cancel if the NFL season is postponed.
So, okay.
34% of cable subscribers say the lack of live sports could impact whether they keep their cable subscriptions. 10% say they are very likely to cancel cable if there are no major live sports by May 1st. And that number goes up to 13% if there are no major live sports by June 1st. And a huge takeaway from the survey is that 33% say that they would cancel their cable contracts if the NFL season is postponed.
So do you think, and Nick, you wrote the sports today, and you guys, both you and Casey, are following it the closest, I assume, on the show. They're talking about getting back to playing without, you know, in empty stadiums and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that if they can get to that point and they can get to that point, you know, within a month and a half,
start to
do this stuff.
Yeah.
Is that a sufficient patch to get us through this?
Yes.
Yeah. There is, I think, a lot of money to be made if they can figure out a way to get professional sports being played. And I think at this point. You know, even the biggest fans don't care if they're playing in front of a live crowd or not. Yeah. No, I
wouldn't care at all.
I don't care either.
I'm never at the stadiums. Right. I consume all my sports on television.
Yeah.
The only sport that I enjoy going to see is hockey, really.
Right.
And I could.
It's just going to be if they're allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I mean, they're thinking of something. You know, as far as football is concerned, baseball, obviously, they're already, you know, kicking around the idea of maybe, you know, quarantining and playing all the games in Arizona. I've also heard that Japan was another option.
Well, you could do football, just stay 6 feet apart.
Major League Baseball. No, but like if they did football, they would have to basically have all of the teams in one place and all of them quarantined. And, mm-hmm. and I don't know how you would quarantine. You would.
And it's a touchdown. And it's a touchdown.
You would have to quarantine them and their families because people wouldn't want to be quarantined away from their families for months.
But they can do it.
Yeah.
They can do it.
Yeah, but they have to figure it out.
And any version of them doing it is better than no version, right? And so any version that exists will obviously make money, more money than no version of it existing. And at this point, I don't know about everybody, but like personally, I wouldn't feel comfortable going to a football game or a Major League Baseball game this summer.
Well, you know, there's
2021. I'm all right with it. And next year, I'll feel much more comfortable. But this year, this calendar year, I'm not in a rush to go to any of these large mass events. And so I would much, much rather sit at home and watch some version of sports somewhere.
There are two things that need to occur. Well, a couple of things. But if you're talking about convincing the public, you're going to need something that is a very reliable treatment if you do get it. That's one. And then obviously, now mind you, Preston, you got the vaccination for influenza B and you got influenza B. It doesn't mean you're not going to get it. It means you're less likely to get it. So
I got it for influenza A and I got influenza B. But,
oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So lucky you. Yeah. But anyway, so ultimately, you know, I think there's money to be made. You talk about beer sales and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So people are still going to, they can still buy and you can patch up some of the stuff and get. Sports is such a sign of normalcy for so many people.
Well, I would listen.
It has to be. It has to get up and running.
I would buy a package that would include, you know, like normally I get my football for free, right? Like it's just on network television, but I would pay to watch professional football. Now, what I'm wondering is if they were to quarantine the league and have it go on. Where would they do it? Because they would have to have everybody. Like, so would it be in Texas? Yeah. Would it be in Arizona? Because it would need to be somewhere where there's, you know.
They would pick a couple of key cities.
You know, a place that has enough football fields to.
Right.
Maybe all the games aren't played at 1 o'clock. You know, maybe they stagger them. And because it's not in front of a live audience, they can. Basically keep the winner of the game hidden.
So Mark Cuban was talking about this with a couple of other sports you know, owners, and they were saying basically you turn the power and the financial resources of these leagues on cleaning and overseeing and temperature testing and actually testing the players every couple of days to make sure that you have everything up and running and good, you can do it.
Case, you know what? I think in St. Louis, there's a huge soccer hub there.
Yeah.
And they have, like, these complexes with tons of soccer fields, like, covering just acres and acres and acres. So I wonder if they would choose a less populated area.
Sure.
You know, like that, and do it as opposed to major city, you know, and it wouldn't matter where it's being played.
I think they would probably try and choose an area
I'm sorry to interrupt. Because you wouldn't even need a viewing
state.
You don't need that at all. They could just play out on a field. And with the right camera work, it would still look interesting.
You could have the Super Bowl in the field behind your house, Preston.
Yeah, you could. No, they would probably try and choose a place that has a desirable climate, right? Yeah. So something like Texas, Arizona, California. And then, but also, like, Texas, because of Friday Night Lights, even the high school fields are, like,
you know, good stuff.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, and Casey, to that point, like, the one of the plans that they're bandying about for the NHL, if that season were to resume this year, is North Dakota. And part of the reason that they picked North Dakota is that, A, they have enough facilities. You know, there's enough rinks there. The number of people that can go to the game doesn't matter because they're going to be playing in front of empty crowds. And it's a sparsely populated state. So the players, the team staff, everybody could quarantine there and be and they could stay safe and stay healthy.
I have a question for you guys. So I don't follow a lot of sports. I'm a hockey fan, kind of like Steve, and that's kind of my sport. The rest, I just kind of keep a light tab on what's going on in the world of sports. So sports is not a big part of my life. On the opposite end of the spectrum, do you think there's some people who are finding out that maybe they don't need it as much as they thought they did?
Oh, Preston, sure. Preston, I was just having a conversation with somebody about this, and it's somebody who works in the sports industry. It is their job. It is their main income. And they said that they believed that would happen, that people are finding out that they don't actually need this in their life. And that they, when it does come back or, you know, when they do, it does enter back into their life, that they can just watch it on TV, that going to the events is not as important as we all think it is.
And I think they'll warm back up to it if they kind of go, well, you know, I don't have to live this life, but it'll creep its way back in. But
I just thought it was bizarre coming from somebody who works in that industry, you know. Yeah.
You're going to have different realizations, different iterations. You're going to have different, there'll be hybrids of certain things. And I think also, it was already going towards that, Nick. You look at the Wells Fargo and the renovations they did to get people off their couches into the into the venue to check these things out. I think you'll see an amplification of that stuff.
Especially in the NFL. The NFL attendance was already down. I mean, Philadelphia is the exception. You know, Eagles games sell out year after year, but the people don't go to the stadiums as much anymore anyway because the ability to watch from home in the comfort of your own couch with the bathroom right around the corner and you're not spending $50 on parking, et cetera, et cetera.
You're going to see ticket accessibility a lot more accessible, I should say. You're going to see price reductions. You're going to see some additions to things that are going to make it more enticing to people to sort of initially fight the fear of going and then B, to say, well, I kind of really enjoy just watching it from my home. What's my reason to get up and go out? And so you'll see all these things start to come into play. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Absolutely.
As long as the people, all those people who peripherally make their livings, you know, from businesses that are close to the venues and so on and so forth, we need to think about them and helping them, you know, bridge all this stuff.
Casey, did you see the other day the XFL filed for bankruptcy?
Yeah.
And, of course, they're saying, well, it's the pandemic.
Listen, a lot of people were tuning in for the first week or two.
Just to see what it was all about.
Yeah, just see what it was all about. And then I didn't hear a big buzz about it, you know, after last couple of, you know, or first couple of weeks.
Yep.
Stephen has an interesting take on line one, press of you, about how they might be able to package.
You're on the air, Stephen. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Good. I just wanted to call in and basically say that the NFL and sports teams like that, if they're missing out on the money, then all they really have to do is start like a PhiladelphiaEagles.tv.
Yeah.
And then all they would have to do is stream everything on their own. And then pretty much have, like, you know, you basically have your Philadelphia Eagles, you do your locker room interviews, you do the team, and then basically as a consumer, you're getting the best optimal setting that you could have. You do it on your TV, and then for the NFL and sports teams like that, it's going to actually cut out on the middleman and the Comcast and your Xfinity.
You're saying making it more a la carte.
Absolutely.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't want a la carte. I want
league.
I like the league. You know what I mean? I watch Thursday night football. I watch Sunday night football. Monday night. When the Eagles play at 1, I watch the 4 o'clock game. When they play at 4, I watch the 1 o'clock game. You know, I wake up when they play in London. I watch the 9 o'clock in the morning game. So, and there are a lot of people like me. So, but yes, I would buy the package. For the Eagles, if I needed to do that.
Right.
But I would want the national package.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Stephen. We appreciate it. This text says, I couldn't care less about sports, but I'm dying to know what's going to happen with the Rammstein concert at the lake.
Yeah, right?
That's true.
I didn't understand why that thing sold out until I saw video footage of it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
That looks awesome.
Think like a super kinetic Richard Marx.
Just like that, with sparks and explosions.
No, it's an experience.
Who knows, man? This is all up in the air.
Yeah, so I mean, if they were to do that with the NFL and Major League Baseball, like I saw a text that came over says that the 12th man is you know, it's definitely a factor when it comes into games. When a team has to play on the road in somebody else's stadium, the crowd noise and the travel and all that sort of stuff is definitely a disadvantage for some teams. But you know what? Everybody is going to be in the same boat, right? So everybody's going to have that same either advantage or disadvantage. Yeah.
It'll be a level playing field. Yeah.
And again, some is better than nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Like whatever version that they come up with, if they can come up with a sport, if they're playing in empty stadiums, I'd rather have that than have nothing at all.
Yep. All right. It's all part of Corona activities.
Yay! Which,
actually, we'll have to get some real Corona activities from Kathy down the road in a little bit. So.
All right.
By the way, I got to mention this. Kyle, who sang who sings the Corona activities jingle, which Casey just played, put together this great video of he and his musician buddies, which we're seeing a lot of these groups that are collaborating do
it's
it.
Great.
And what song did they do?
A Lovely Day.
Oh, Lovely Day. And he's such a great singer. So we'll have to see
if we can baby.
Find out. It's going to be a lovely day.
It's going to be a lovely day. Lots of guys have this.
When you said it yesterday, the other day, was, we can try it again. I said,
we can try it again. Doesn't always happen the first time.
All right. We're going to take a break because we want your opportunity to win $500 with MMR's Rock Refund. We're also going to get the Bizarre File and our friend, the CEO of a little place called Wawa, Chris Geissens, will be joining us. And Wawa Day's got some details on that coming up. It's a really cool thing. So we'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
MMR's Rock Refund.
Why are you calling me?
Because I won $500 from WMMR.
Weekdays at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. to hear the hour's winning keyword.
I don't believe it, but I just won $500.
For those who enter via our mobile app or our website, there's a $10,000 grand prize.
You guys are awesome.
MMR's Rock Refund. $500, 7 times a day. Details, entry methods, and contest rules at WMMR.com.
Hell yeah.
Woo! Brought to you by A&T Subaru. Subarus always cost less in Sellersville. And
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
Got about a minute or so before we're going to do this. So I want to remind you about Isolation Idol, our contest to see what kind of creativity is happening in the living rooms of the Delaware Valley. You know, they're seeing a lot of this. People are making videos of themselves performing. It's just something to fill the time with and to, you know, show off some of your creativity.
Yes.
And I haven't seen any of the videos. We have a committee that is going through and is going to narrow down our contestants next week.
It's the itty bitty. No.
And I just saw a video of one of them. It's great.
Good.
It's great. And Marissa's telling me we have a ton of really great ones.
Very encouraged.
Some of them are people who are doing cover songs. Some are doing their own original material. This guy did an original song. Now, like I said, I have nothing to do with who is going to be the contestants next week. But it's about the show, and I really enjoyed his performance.
You know what's great is that we pretty much hate shows like this, so this is going to be the best version of this kind of show because we're going to make sure that the stuff that we like gets through. Casey's actually a fan, so he's adding that to that element of these things. He's going to look for actual talents, and his sense of being critical is right in place and where it should be. But we're a little bit more, okay, show us what you got.
And it's not all going to be in the rock category.
No, it's all over the place. And yep. I had no idea when we on the onset of this, We had no idea what the response was going to be like, so we just kind of, we had to make rules because of our legal department rather than, anyway, don't get me started on
that. Yeah.
So we're going to do, I think, 24 contestants total next week, and I'm like, I hope we get at least 24 respondents. We've gotten a lot.
We got a lot.
So we're gonna have to say no to a lot of people, unfortunately, because they made us set up these rules ahead of time, and so we're gonna do that.
Well,
just maybe, a heads up.
Maybe Isolation Voice after this.
You never know. We could do something like that, or the Delaware Valley's Got Talent.
Yes.
Who knows? All right. In the meantime, we need to do this.
93.3 WMMR. Now your rock refund keyword.
All right. We have a word. The word is equal, E-Q-U-A-L, and that's what you got to enter. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to do that. Three ways for you to enter it. You can do it through the text. Our special contest short code number is 45911, so send over the word equal, or you can send it to us to be automatically entered for the $10,000 grand prize to our MMR mobile app. We're at WMMR.com. One random entry is going to win $500 in our company-wide contest. That person will get a call from our company, Beasley, so be sure to answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. And it is sponsored by A&T Subaru and Chevy in Sellersville. Seven chances to win each weekday. You know that. We got two of them for you, 8 and 10. Then it happens at noon and 2, 4 and 6 and 8 p.m. So good luck. The word is equal, E-Q-U-A-L. All right, we have a friend on the line,
yes.
And our friend just so happens to be the chief executive officer of Wawa, one of our all-time favorite places.
Yeah.
And Wawa Day, we got to get the details on that, and there's a really cool, interesting twist that they're going to be doing with that. So please welcome the CEO of Wawa, Mr. Chris Geisens.
Hey!
Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
Good, Preston. How are you? How's everyone there?
We're doing as well as we can, as anybody else can, with our current condition that we're in. And I know that you guys are planning something really cool, Chris, with Wawa and Wawa Day. When is Wawa Day specifically?
Well, it's today.
Yes! All right! Look at that! How punctual are we? No, it's honestly a great thing you're doing, and so continue with the mission.
Thank you. Yeah, so 56 years ago, we opened our first store today. So we use it as an excuse, I guess, to usually have some fun in our stores and do some good things. And that didn't really seem like the right thing to do. So we wanted to pivot. Wawa Day today is really more about just representing, talking about, and sharing the love for the helpers that we have throughout, you know, this crisis, that are on the front lines in the hospitals, the essential workers. So we're doing quite a bit around that to recognize them.
Okay. What specifically are you guys doing? Do you know?
All right. So, yep. They did tell me. So usually I have a PR person next to me. Now they just give me 500 sheets of paper to put
right.
on the table.
You got a lot to juggle.
You mean Lori's not there to spoon feed you what
right.
you need?
Lori's not here, so she's probably texting right now.
But, all right.
No, we are. We've really been thoughtful around this. And one, we're giving $250,000 from the Wawa Foundation as a donation towards those frontline healthcare workers. So,
wow. It's essential.
They are. And let me tell you, they're doing amazing things. I'm involved a bit at Children's Hospital, and you just get the reports from what they're doing and across all of these hospitals and healthcare institutions. It's simply amazing. So, but the $250 really is going to helping feed people as well. So we have food banks and food pantries, as we all know, around the area that really have been struggling through this, and folks need to support them as much as they can. So this $250,000 is going towards local food banks who can apply for these hunger relief funds, and they're going to be spread out across all the region. So that's one. And then also we're going to put together 3,000 meals this week and give them out to those frontline healthcare workers at hospitals throughout all of our footprint and areas.
So, that means so much, because obviously they've never been more put upon than they are now. And then, you know, getting food there, you see different celebrities and different people rising to the challenge and stepping up and providing food. So the fact that you can do this, because not only are they on the front lines doing what they're doing, they have their own families to worry about. A lot of times they don't get a chance to get out and get food.
That's very true. Very true. So, you know, early on in our stores, you know, we debated, should we, what can we do? How do we help? And we've given, free drinks in the morning to our healthcare workers so they can come in and make sure that they're taken care of there. And our associates really got behind that. They wanted to
help and do something. And, you know, Wawa's sort of that not the lead actor or actress, but we're the supporting actor or actors. We're the ones in the background that are really just helping the healthcare workers, helping you on your normal day, get off to work okay, get home okay, fuel your car up. So this is just another way for us to play that supporting role to healthcare workers.
To be honest, you guys have been great rolling along with all, obviously different things come down, it seems like every other day, and restrictions and things you have to deal with. But so the Wawa near me on Germantown Avenue doesn't have the gas component, but the people in there are really working hard, making sure that there's enough spacing, making sure that the people behind the counter are protected. How has it gone with the revisions and the way the sandwiches are made and the coffee's dispensed? It seems to be every time I go in there that everything is running well.
Yeah, I would say overall well, and that has a lot to do with our awesome Wawa associates. I honestly have just... so impressed, inspired, amazed by how well they're handling this. It's amazing. But also our customers. I mean, they're the ones that are trying to understand, listen, and just play along these new rules. If you would have told me a few weeks ago that Wawa would have turned off our self-serve coffee offer and changed it to a full-serve offer, that we'd have plexiglass barriers between our associates at the checkout at the coffee area at food service in order to, you know, protect that and put spacing, and then have signs on all of our floors, inside and outside, that show 6 foot distance. I would have said that's crazy. We'd never do that. And yet we've had a pivot, as everyone else has, tremendously quickly. And I'm just proud of the team. They've really just done amazing things. Amazing.
You should be, Chris. And you know what? And you know how loyal your customer base is, and people are proud of their Wawa. You know, their neighborhood Wawa, most definitely. And you should see all the texts and phone calls that are coming in right now. So they do love you. And I did get this one that I'm going to mention. This one says, hey, to us, Wawa Day is when you come to Georgia. When can we expect you to arrive? That is from Liz in Holly Springs, Georgia. So hopefully you guys will continue that creep up north from Florida. So she's hoping
from Florida.
For that. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're just over the state line in Jacksonville. I won't confirm or deny that we looked in Georgia.
All right. Well, listen, you guys are doing great work. And you know, you're so associates are, you know, right out there, and if they're not on the front line, they're helping the people that are, most definitely, and they need the support. So we'll put the word out that you can go by and get free beverages today. Is that what it is, Chris? For
well, it's every day. It's actually coffee in the morning for healthcare workers and all day. So yeah, that's really the right thing for us to do. And awesome. I think, look, we're going to keep doing what we can. It's wonderful to see a lot of companies stepping up and doing wonderful things. We're not in this alone, and it's great. So you have CEOs, you have business leaders across this region who really actively are putting their minds together on how they can help now, but also when things hopefully return to normal.
And they will.
They will. And really how to support people then, because people are going to need it then as well.
Yep, exactly.
But kudos to everything you're doing.
Yeah, and the contributions are great. Chris, it's good to talk to you.
Thanks,
and we'll talk soon, okay?
You just stay safe.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Chris Geisen, CEO, nice head honcho at Wawa. He is a great guy.
If you think about all the kind of, you talk about the rolling things that they had to do, the things they had to implement, you know, all these businesses, all these things that had to go down, all these protective barriers that had to go up, all the systems and all the conferences and all the calls, you know, even just here, the stuff we had to modify. And yeah, I look at the Rodney and the engineering department, you know, just getting together everything of all the people who are broadcasting from home and the people who are here and how that was all decided.
Yeah.
This is all, he said just a couple of weeks ago, if you had told him, Chris was saying, that any of this would be in place, he would have said, what? You're out of your mind. And here we are.
Why didn't I invest in plexiglass?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
who'd have known?
Toilet paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too.
I'm a toilet paper baron.
All right, we got to do the B-File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
You want stories? I got stories. How about this? A brazen bus driver was fired because he was spanking it while passengers were on board.
Hey, you got to have a hobby.
And he was filmed doing it, too. The careless perv was driving the bus en route through Lucerne, Switzerland.
Okay.
But he decided to pleasure himself during the trip, to the horror of one woman who filmed it.
So do they have automatic transmissions, I assume?
They must, yes. Yeah. She sent the footage to the company who owns the bus, who immediately cut ties with the man. A pixelated picture printed in local media shows the man with his hand between his legs, taken from a reflection in the rearview mirror inside the bus that allows the driver to see the passengers, but also the passengers to see the driver. It's believed the driver felt that he was separated enough due to what he was doing without being seen because of the barrier that has been set up for to offer coronavirus protection.
Is there a case to be made that he just simply loves his job?
It might be that, Steve, but you can only love your job.
Oh, my
so
God.
Much.
I love what I'm doing. I have to spank it.
Passengers are also only allowed to exit from the rear of the bus, and the seat immediately behind the driver was blocked for you. So he thought he had all the privacy in the world.
Hey, who knows? Maybe we would do likewise if we were in the same position.
But he had clearly forgotten about the mirror. A spokesman says, we are aware of this incident. The video is leaked to us without censorship. We strongly condemn this incident and apologize to those affected. And they say they had immediately opened it disciplinary procedures and then fired the bus driver the same day.
Is that mirror in place so that the people in the bus can watch the driver spank it?
Maybe they do that as a courtesy. I'm not sure. This is pretty wild. Steve and I were looking at video footage of this today. An explosion at a paper mill.
Oh, my God.
Rocked a small main town on Wednesday as a passerby captured the images of the terrifying blast. Steve, nobody was hurt or killed in that.
This thing was just vaporized.
It's massive.
Yeah.
You see this huge plume go up, and you can see logs flying up in the air.
Really?
And nobody was killed. It's called the Androscoggin Mill. It's about 30 miles northwest of Augusta. The explosion did not take any lives. The blast happened in the facility's digester, where wood chips, water, and chemicals called pulping liquor are mixed, making for the pulp that eventually becomes paper. You ever driven around a paper mill?
You can smell it for miles.
It stinks to high hell, man. Yeah. The mill employs about 500 workers, probably about 165 to 175 were on premises when the blast happened, though none immediately in the area. The damage was significant, a statement says.
Fortunately, the employees were on their spanking it break.
Good. See?
Yeah, sometimes it does help, so please don't be so quick to judge.
All right, move over, Pizza Rat. Now behold, Pizza Groundhog.
Pizza Groundhog is awesome.
And he's right here in Philly. The snack-toting animal made an appearance just outside of Crissin Shalaga Begnals. I can't spell it.
Sha-la-la-la.
Yeah, the Philadelphia home. 6ABC reported this. She later posted a video of the encounter to Action News' Facebook account. She said, it's not just the people that like Philly pizza. Gripping his slice of pie, the groundhog chewed away, unbothered by Bagnell's two dogs, Maggie and Moses, who peered at it from the other side of the glass. And he continued this way for apparently an hour working on this piece of pizza.
This groundhog is loving this piece of pizza. Great. And it's watching the dogs as if they're putting on a stage show.
Yeah.
And just like, And then occasionally you see when he hits a piece of cheese, it's like,
it's really
nice. He's just
into
loving it.
Yep,
it's the cutest thing.
Yep. Well, there's a woman in Maine who makes art from moose poop.
Moose poop?
Yes. The idea is the brainchild of artist Mary Wickenbach.
From the moose?
Who finds
Why don't you forget the moose?
Yes.
For a moment.
Who finds the moose leavings in the woods around her house in Maine. And listen to this.
What?
This is proof that anyone can get a TV show. True TV is launching a reality series about her art. Of moose crap.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
And I'm going to watch it.
It's about her and her family and her town in rural Maine. And it's coming to the screens in May. You can see a trailer for the show, by the way. She had apparently said, all my turds are right on there with the prices and click on them.
Come on.
They can let me know what they need for turds. I ship S everywhere, she says.
Okay.
There's going to be a TV show about
quite a character. Wow. Maybe we found he's gay, but Joe Exotic.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a perfect match.
Yeah. All right. One last story. A Manhattan man was arrested after threatening to blow up Central Park's Alice in Wonderland statue with a pipe bomb.
That bitch!
Would-be bomber Kevin Fallon went down the rabbit hole April 9th when he allegedly sent a text to friends and family announcing his intention to blow up the 1959 bronze statue depicting the Lewis Carroll Tales famously fraught tea party.
What the hell did she do to him?
On Saturday, he allegedly sent loved ones, including an ex-girlfriend and his father, photos of a pipe bomb and rifle ammunition, along with a chilling threat that said, look both ways before you cross the street. This is going to hurt. None of you are safe. I am lethal. Another missive included a photo of an apparent pipe bomb with a wristwatch attached to it and said the alarm clock bomb is for real. When I give it to him, it will be filled with powder and ready to detonate.
So he's going to give it to people, and then he focused his ire at the Alice in Wonderland statue?
I guess so.
Because it sounded like he was going to attack people, but then he figured out a statue would be better.
Well, according to court records, which identify him only as one of the people he was texting with. So.
Oh, who's the other, the Mad Hatter?
The NYPD conducted a wellness check on his apartment at his mom's request. They found 3 pipe bombs, rifle ammunition, and multiple knives that had been taped together. But the bomb squad was called in. They found that the bombs weren't functional. Later that day, Fallon was tracked to a hotel where he was taken into custody.
Why not take that anger and that ability and that need to make something and make banana bread?
Yes!
Right?
Why not? Mm-hmm. It's all the rage. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File. Let us take a break and come back in a moment because we got a stack of guests coming up today, man. Scott Hamilton's going to be joining us around 9 o'clock. We actually have Anson Williams and Donnie Most on from Happy Days. Yes, Ralph and Potsy. And Steve Zahn, one of the wonders from That Thing You Do. They're big getting the band back together. So we got a bunch coming up. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you to our friends at Dietz and Watson, especially Deli on 4th and Conshohocken. They are now open for takeout. They brought by some great food this morning. You can taste 4 generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local businesses and get the info at realphillydeli.com. All right, so I got a choice to make here.
All right.
I either put on my chef's hat or I smoke my pipe.
You know what?
Because it's either the historian or the connoisseur. I have good stuff in both, and I don't have time to do a text poll to see who would like to hear what.
I'm going
to
be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I was just reading an article about food, about takeout, and you just mentioned takeout.
All right, but if you want the historian sometime, let me know.
He bent to the will of the people, and he's back. He's the connoisseur. He gets the best tables, the best food, and knows where the best takeout is. Plus, he'll get us through this goddamn coronavirus.
Wendy's has brought back the Frosty Cookie Sundae for a limited time. The dessert creation debuted on the chain's menu in April of last year.
What is this?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's a frosty base, and you can choose chocolate or vanilla, topped with chocolate chunk cookies bites and Ghirardelli chocolate sauce drizzled on top of it.
What?
That sounds pretty good.
That sounds... Oh, there's a picture of it.
Okay.
That looks good.
That does look good.
That is good.
The problem sometimes when you put cookies or brownies or things like that in an ice cream is it gets so hard, it's like you're chewing rocks.
That because it kind of freezes slightly?
Yeah, it freezes a little bit, unless the cookie's heated.
You heat the cookies and or you put the whole thing in the microwave for 10 seconds.
Or you can do like a blizzard, you know,
whatever. Yeah, if it's real
other
small.
Places versions of that where they mix it all together.
But their cookies are already soft. They're not going to harden up that much.
No, I don't think so. No.
Especially with a Frosty because the Frosty is very soft.
So you've had Wendy's cookies before?
Oh, yeah.
I can't say that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at me, Preston.
Oh, yeah.
Fat bastard.
I didn't even know that was on the menu. Okay.
Yeah.
Worth getting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a nice little treat after you're done eating.
I like Wendy's
your
burgers.
Number 8. Yes.
Yeah. I've always liked Wendy's burgers.
Casey, you don't drink alcohol, so you should review cookies.
Uh-huh.
You really should review cookies.
Just anything sweet, really.
From different restaurants and things like that. And you could start a whole industry of reviewing cookies.
Well, I'm telling you, you know, Steve's wife, Claire, makes an amazing chocolate chip cookie.
The best.
Listener Heather and listener Tara also make great homemade chocolate chip cookies. But if it's store-bought cookies, my money goes to a place called Koffermeyer's. And they used to be in Philadelphia, and then they moved. They're on Brookline Boulevard in Havertown now. And it is, I think, the best chocolate chip cookie you will ever have. And
I will look forward to trying that.
Yeah.
I will tell you what gets me through in, when I find myself in times of trouble. If Mother Mary's not near me.
Right. Yeah.
I go to Acme chocolate chip cookies.
Damn good. It is damn good. Damn now, good. What I do with the Acme chocolate chip cookies, because there's the bags of them, I always make sure I check the freshest ones.
The freshest ones are going to be the best. And then when you get them home before you eat them, you can pop them in the microwave for about an hour. No, pop them for about 10 seconds. You'll get it done. You'll be good.
I like the idea of the small joint, though.
Yeah.
You're
talking about pot.
No, no, I want a big honker if I'm going to smoke weed. like bakeries and so forth.
Yes.
Neighborhood bakeries, you can find some pretty badass cookies.
I think Koffermeyer's might be open now. They usually close for, you know, like the winter. They close
for pandemics.
Not for pandemics, but like right around after Christmas, I think they shut down for a couple of months. But, Press, they're smaller cookies, right? So you can eat more. You buy them by, the weight, right? So you can, you know, half pound of cookies, pound of cookies or whatever. So,
okay.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drive past her on my way home today. And I'll get you one.
All right.
Store-bought cookies.
The time's up there, Case, right now.
Yeah, store-bought cookies are so far superior to anything that I can make at home that I kind of prefer them, you know?
Listen, they're the ones who know how to do it. Like, my wife does, she jams the hell out of those chips and makes it really great. So I love that. So, but you're right, a lot of these places are really state-of-the-art when it comes to chocolate chip cookie making.
Yeah, somebody had recommended that I write a book on Delco, and I'm like, well, I don't want to do that because I'm lazy, and I don't know all that. But I
write a book on the Bronze Age.
But I wouldn't mind doing, like, a travel log. I was thinking about doing like a blog called Meals on Wheels, and I ride my bike to certain places and I eat something and then I write about my experience. And I figure if it's in Delco, I could probably ride my bike there and stuff. And I would probably start with sweets.
Okay,
my sweet tooth is just, it's insane. It's and it's been really, really bad over the last I would say since the pandemic started.
Okay. I thought you were going to say 18 years. all right, speaking of chocolate chip cookies, let me stick with this.
Okay.
The Doubletree Hotel.
Did we leave the topic and come right back to it?
Well, it's still on.
I'm extending it. The connoisseur can do that.
Chocolate chip cookies. Doubletree Hotel is known for giving customers chocolate chip cookies when they check in, and now the hotel chain has unveiled the official recipe for those cookies. I did not know that they do that, and I guess this is one of their things they're famous for.
I do not believe I've ever had a Doubletree chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-mm. Marissa's, she is shaking her head.
Hold on
there.
A second here. Let's get the opinion.
They are so good.
Really?
Okay.
So good. My only thing that I'm very surprised, they have nuts in them. And I would think that, like, nowadays with people and so many nut allergies, it's a little surprising to hand them out. But they're, like, chocolate chip cookies with nuts, and they are warm and in, like, the little
warm nuts
bag to, like, when you check in, they're so good.
So they have released their recipe. The cookies contain 13 ingredients, some of which are predictable and others that might be a bit surprising, such as rolled oats and lemon juice. If you don't trust your baking skills, you can also purchase them online fully prepared at DoubletreeCookies.com. Scroll through this. See if there's any nuts. It might be rolled oats that you're eating, Marissa, because I find that surprising.
Yeah, you rolled a tick.
Nope, chop walnuts.
Yep. Oh, she's right.
Okay, yep. How dare I doubt Marissa.
So there's another homemade cookie that I love. My buddy Jeff, his wife makes chocolate chip cookies, and she rolls oats in hers.
Okay.
And I listen.
Gonna roll them oats.
I'm gonna roll them oats, Steve. And I know that you'll agree with this. When you think you're biting into a chocolate chip cookie and it's a oatmeal raisin cookie.
I a little part of me dies inside.
Right?
Yeah. And I do love oatmeal cookies. My mouth has been prepared for something else.
Exactly.
And it's a bait and switch.
And then you have to do that. Your mouth is portfolio.
Dude, you just made a mess in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That was like Patrick Warburton when he got Eddie Vedder's T-shirt and he smelled it. He goes,
it's new.
He washed it.
It's clean. All right. So if you're interested, you can get that now. So feel free. Let me see what else I got here. Cue the music.
That's,
play it!
I was playing it. It was potted down. That's my bad.
Sorry.
No, it was, I have to turn the thing down, and sometimes I forget to turn it back up. That was my fault.
It's all right.
No sad, bro.
No sad, bro. It's Thursday. Me.
Chocolate chip cookie.
No sale, bro.
Shut up. I'm eating.
What's he having?
Shut up. I'm eating. He's having a sandwich from Deli on 4th.
The Godfather.
Oh.
Yeah.
And chips over there, too.
Yeah, technically, I was eating Hershey's chips.
Lately, I've been noticed you've been eating the party mix in the morning.
Dude, so I have a protein bar, and then normally when Monja's open, I need like a...
Devil's food cake.
I need a devil's food cake, Preston.
No, so from the vending machine, they have the party mix, which is like a Dorito. It's got a bunch of different kinds of fried crunchy stuff.
It's what athletes eat.
What I need is some sort of carb, right?
Yeah.
I never know.
That's the end of the connoisseur music. Anyway, I need some sort of carb, and since Monja's not open, I can't get my bagel. So I just been,
get the party mix,
slumming it with the party mix, but not anymore. Not now. I got Hershey's chips.
Hershey's, God bless you, Hershey's. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this though, I was a little disappointed in the vending machine. If I may go off again on a slight tangent here,
okay.
There were these wonderful little chocolate chip cookies in the lower left of the vending machine that have now been replaced by the much more caloric intensive Pop-Tarts.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of cookies were there?
They were on the Famous Amos level.
Okay.
Yeah, another guy.
If you see, because sometimes I'll see the vending guy, I'll tell him if I see him.
Please.
If you see him, let him know.
Sucker punch.
Jack him up against the wall.
Let him know what you want in there?
Maybe.
Hey!
You know what? That's a good question. Vending people, if you're listening, if we request something, if you're just, can we do that? Or are you required to put everything in there?
Can you do
just imagine them writing it down? Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yeah. Let me.
Well,
what's that worth to you?
Yeah.
Before we left, there was a sign. We were trying to figure out who put it on there, but somebody was requesting on the drink machine for sparkling water to be put in there, and they left a sign on it. We guessed it was Paula Decker, and then I ran into her and I asked if it was her, and she was like, "No, it's not me, but I would definitely buy that if it was in there."
I've become a sparkling water guy.
Yeah,
it's pretty much all I drink at home now. Yeah,
I can't.
When I'm not drinking bourbon,
it hurts my throat.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The bubbles.
No, I like it.
Did you say while you're drinking bourbon?
Yeah, while when I'm not drinking bourbon.
When you're not. Okay.
I'm drinking sparkling water.
So. Yeah, it's more carbonated, right?
Yeah, I find it to be very carbonated.
Yeah.
More carbonated than what?
Not that I've noticed.
Than like ginger ale.
I like soda and Ghirelli.
So, anyway.
We digress.
We do. And this is interesting.
Back to the connoisseur.
That's correct. Restaurants, of course, have been forced to close their dining rooms. Some have moved to takeout and delivery model, but others have closed entirely. And now another trend is emerging. Some restaurants are converting into grocery stores order to stay afloat.
This is actually very popular. They were showing some of the restaurants down in the Italian section, Preston, were doing that. Selling some of their ingredients and stuff that they have on premises.
Yeah, some items sold by these restaurants vary quite a bit. Some are mostly offering the types of things already in their pantries, such as meats, vegetables, fruit, cheese, milk, and eggs. And others are even selling toilet paper and paper towels.
Huh.
I think Panera is doing a level of sort of store. If someone can check that, Nick, Panera, there was a commercial for something that they were doing, and they've modified some of what they offer.
Are they going to, because like the food providers, right? Like so, DiBella down the hall, he has a person that works for him whose family owns a mushroom farm in Kennett Square.
DiBella de Mushroom.
And, she brought in just cases of mushrooms because they weren't able to sell them to their regular outlets and stuff like that.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if there's going to be a basically direct-to-consumer type
That's what
deal.
This is. This is sort of basically it. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, Steve, they are basically allowing you to order through Panera, and it's not every Panera, by the way. It's in select cities. But you can order the groceries that would come to Panera that they would serve, that they would use to make their sandwiches and soups and whatever else. And you can do it with contactless delivery or rapid pickup, so curbside pickup.
Is that wild?
Somebody texted and said Iron Hill Brewery has been selling groceries online.
Oh. There you go. I have an Iron Hill Brewery right up the street from me.
And you can
down
get
the road
groceries.
A piece.
You can get groceries there.
Are they still making beer in microbrews?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Let's ask Marissa, because her boyfriend owns a brewery.
Yeah, he's making an IPA this morning.
Okay.
Listening to us right now.
I guess I meant more like a Panera, like a storefront that is a restaurant that's also a microbrew.
Panera isn't a microbrew.
You mean Iron Hill?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Iron Hill, yeah.
Yes, Iron Hill is making beer as well, too.
Okay.
In their stores. But, Casey, about the boxes, there are a whole bunch of places. There's one called Giordano's, where for $35 you can buy a box of produce.
Okay.
And it's all the stuff that would be going to restaurants and places in the area that don't have the need for it now, and they'll deliver them right to your house, or they have contactless pickup places all around the area. I think there's one in Jersey. There's one in Manayunk, Steve.
Again, okay. Yes, so, absolutely.
Just question, why would you go get your groceries at a restaurant rather than a grocery store?
Well, you might be able to save some money, you know?
But that's what I'm wondering, yeah.
Or things you can't get at the grocery store that are, you know, restocking and then flying off the shelves.
So you might go there, you might go to the grocery store and not see what you're looking for and swing by a restaurant and check?
Yeah. Like, I mean, okay. Still the, you know, like...
Because the thought hadn't crossed my mind at all. That's why I'm asking these questions.
Like meats and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been out in over a week, so I'm not sure how that situation is. But last time I went, it was very low.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's fewer people walking into these restaurants. So maybe if people don't want to go into the grocery stores for some reason, they have that option. And then the restaurants can make money selling, you know, paper towels or toilet paper that aren't being used.
And you can help them out as well.
There you go. Another source of income.
Okay. So some of the restaurant owners say that they're offering competitive prices on the groceries that they're selling in order to draw in customers. So there you go, Casey. Like you said, saving some money possibly. So,
okay.
Interesting. All right. What else?
More from the connoisseur. Always saving us money and feeding us good food.
Let's mention this one. You can now look for Frosted Flakes with marshmallows on store shelves.
It's not necessary.
They're already frosted.
They're already frosted. It's like a really sugary cereal that kind of poses as a healthy.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
I love Frosted Miniwigs, but they're sugar caked on Frosted Miniwigs.
Casey says this is not necessary. It's really not necessary.
I mean, look at, like, Lucky Charms, right? If Lucky Charms didn't have marshmallows, the cereal is actually kind of bland.
Yeah.
So the marshmallows help sweeten everything up, right? This is not necessary there.
So do you think it won't sell?
No, it'll totally sell.
Okay. The Instagram account Candy Hunting posted a photo of the box on Instagram. The cereal pictured looks like a mashup of Frosted Flakes and Lucky Charms. But the marshmallows are shaped like a tiger head silhouette. Maybe they're keying off of Tiger King.
Well, look, wait a second. Put the picture of it back up on the screen here. They're saying that they're shaped like tiger heads. They look like regular marshmallows.
Tiger head, silhouette, a paw print, a scarf, and a sweet swirl.
Yeah.
Sweet swirl. The scarf is red and the other marshmallows are orange.
They're unnecessary.
With the swirl having a blue tint mixed in as well. Reportedly coming to stores this month.
Huh.
So not necessary.
Okay. Kathy's cats are banging on the door. You can hear that, right?
She's throwing stuff at him.
Mm-hmm. He was in the bathroom. Jace must have let him out.
Okay. All right. I got other things.
Good stuff so far. You really out of the gate with that Wendy's thing, that dessert.
There was a story. Oh, man. What did I do? Here we go. Each year, the Environmental Working Group, EWG, a nonprofit organization, releases a list of the Dirty Dozen produce items, those most highly treated with pesticides.
You're talking EWG?
EWG. The group uses data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to compile their list, which ranks produce based on the level of pesticides present on an item when it is offered up to sale to consumers. Topping this year's list, which was released in March, are strawberries, spinach, and kale.
I love spinach, I love kale, and I love strawberries.
Okay. Toxicologist and co-author of this year's Dirty Dozen list, Thomas Gilligan, says, let me be clear.
I'm not that Gilligan.
Okay, and then what did he say?
Let me be clear. Don't call me little buddy.
I don't know where the skipper is.
Yes.
That's all clear.
We know
now.
The professor could have fixed the frickin' hole in the boat because he made a generator out of coconuts.
And why did the Howls bring so much clothing for a 3-hour tour?
Why have I not changed my name by now?
He said, we want people to eat lots and lots of fruits and vegetables. The benefits of eating fruits and vegetables outweighs the risks from pesticides. But we do think you should find ways to reduce your overall pesticide exposure if you can, and that's why we make this list.
I actually spray pesticides on my food. just because I like the taste.
Do any of you guys buy strictly organic because of the pesticide thing?
No. Sometimes.
We do.
You do, Kevin? You do.
I mean, not strictly because of that. There are other reasons, but especially produce, yeah.
It's whatever Guppy sells.
That's mainly the reason I think of why people buy organic produce is because of the pesticide.
Yeah, yeah.
I get free-range vegetables.
Mm. You just find them growing out?
Yeah. Like the way Nick goes Christmas tree shopping.
But it says, however, some of the in the nutrition field say the list scares consumers away from eating fresh produce, especially low-income consumers who can't afford organic food. It is a lot more expensive.
It is.
Registered dietitian Elizabeth Shaw says that people should especially be eating fruits and vegetables now as they can bolster the immune system. She adds that conveniently grown fruits and vegetables are safe to eat. Even those on the dirty dozen list. I'm sorry. As I'm reading this and saying people should eat fruits and vegetables, I see you picking up all the
I was eating vegetables. Get out of my face.
You're eating potato chip crumbs.
Okay. Well, what was the first word in that, Preston? What was the first word of what I was eating? Come on. Say it.
Potato.
And what is that?
It's a vegetable.
Okay. I'm not a big veggie fan, right? So I got to eat vegetables however I can consume them, right?
Well,
so,
you were showing us how to do that.
You were.
Fry them.
A demonstration. It's not just enough to say. You have to show us how to do it.
Sometimes I'm a giant child, and sometimes I have to do things to occupy myself so I don't talk.
Okay.
Shaw explains.
Why don't you play with some string?
Yeah.
Shaw explains that the Environmental Protection Agency.
So he's eating so he doesn't talk?
Yeah,
he's
and you're welcome.
Eating it to not talk.
You're welcome, Kathy.
Standards for the amount of pesticides.
It's like that song, Running to Stand Still, eating to not talk.
Can be present on produce offered for sale in the U.S., and those standards are far below harmful levels.
Do you think people are? So my wife went to, I forget where she went yesterday, but she came home with some organic vegetables and stuff like that. Do you think, I think a lot of people perceive the veggies, the open produce at stores is a little bit more of a liability when you get them home. You got to really clean them. You have to, I think, right? I clean them. We clean them anyway.
Yeah, it's weird to like take a Clorox wipe to bananas and fresh fruit and organic veggies because you're bringing these home. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to wipe them down with some kind of
let me dip
Clorox.
Dip these in a Clorox bath.
We toured a cranberry farm several years ago. And while we were there, one of us had said something. Well, we had said something about organic. And they were like,
don't say that word.
Really?
Yeah,
why? It was like taboo because they weren't an organic farm, and that directly competes with them. So
wait,
they were like,
second.
No.
What did you just say?
Yeah, exactly.
How was that? I want to do that.
Awesome.
Was it?
Really, really cool. We got to go in the waders out into the bog and amongst all the cranberries. It was neat. Going to a working farm and seeing the things that they do is impressive. It's pretty cool.
You realize just how elaborate the amount of much knowledge they need to have, the specificity of what they do.
And how they require on Mother Nature to be kind.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
And was this something that you just booked, or was this because
you were
privileged?
It was through a family. We were privileged. Yes.
You're privileged.
No, okay. Rochelle's aunt has a friend who's, you know,
knows Jervis.
Husband owns the cranberry farm. We were like, that sounds really cool. So we went and we did it. It was really neat.
Preston, I got to do a tour of an organic farm a few years ago, and you know, just sort of tying it back into organic foods. And the levels to which they have to go to make sure and ensure that everything is organic is really impressive. However, when you walk out of there, you're like, you know what? I'm going to eat nothing but organic from here on out. Now that lasts for a week,
right?
But first this
Twinkie.
Yeah, first these potato chips. But like when you're there, it's an impressive operation.
I learned a few things about cranberries real quick, and then we got to take a break. What's interesting is when you see them in that bog and that water, they don't grow them in that.
No,
that's how they harvest them.
Oh, okay.
They flood the and that right? Isn't that what causes them to bob to the top?
They have air inside of them that the cranberry does, and so they found out over time the most efficient way to do it is they take the fields where they're going to grow them. They create them so that they're sunken down. Right. They grow them. Then when it's harvest time, they flood them. And then they use essentially it just goes through and whacks these bushes and loosens up all those cranberries and they float to the top.
It's called the whack-off.
And then they just blow them with they whack them and then they blow them. No, then they have these giant blowers, and they blow them all over into a section of that water, and then they harvest them up that way.
It's ingenious,
it's,
actually.
It is ingenious. Okay. Yeah.
They used to do the same process with chickens, but they would drown, Preston, with the eggs.
Yeah. Well, they were trying things.
Is a bog man-made then?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so they have... They have these essentially they're
bogatizers.
No, they're like these tunnels where the water can run through and they can flood and then drain the bogs at will when they need
so,
to.
So Nick, do you think Wade Boggs come from a long line of cranberry makers? By
Wade Boggs.
Yeah, I mean essentially his family liked to wade through bogs and then they named him after that.
A lot of times our names come from what our ancestors did as occupations.
All right, we have to take a break because we've got a interview scheduled at 9 o'clock and I want to make sure we get back for that. So that's all for the connoisseur. By the way,
that would be like an ultimate fall activity.
Yes, it would.
Oh.
Yes, it would.
Gabby just told us that'd be an ultimate fall activity and the connoisseur is wrapping up.
All right, which we are doing now. We'll come back in a moment. We're going to have Scott Hamilton on the show.
Cool.
And then after that, we're going to have Anson Williams and Donnie Most from Happy Days.
It's crazy.
Both of them on. And Steve Zahn, who is, he's been in tons of movies, but he's one of the wonders. From That Thing You Do, and they're getting back together. So we'll talk to all those people. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked. Green Day. The Glorious Sons.
Come a little closer to the sky. It's better than wondering why.
Crobot.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I can barely do a cartwheel. Our next guest can do a backflip on ice skates.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think that says a lot.
Yeah.
And he's got a really cool event coming up on Friday to help raise some money, fundraiser. And we'll get all the details. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Scott Hamilton is on the line. Good morning, Scott.
Oh, man, I don't get that at home. All I get is where's my breakfast and why didn't you wake me up earlier and, it's like I'm bored. What are we going to do today?
They don't throw flowers at you at home, Scott?
Nothing, huh?
Not much. No. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like our new normal is really kind of kicking into a normal, right? So it's been really crazy, bizarre, but... Mm-hmm. I think as human beings, as humans,
yes.
we kind of just sort of morph into what's next and try to make the best of it. And
that's a good way to put it.
Kind of our day to day, yeah. And so it's been beautiful and amazing in some ways, and every other way, it's been really tragic and the loss of life and just the healthcare workers just being out there fighting the fight and. And really, we're seeing them in a, I have a, what I call a unique hobby of collecting life-threatening illness, so I'm very intimate with the healthcare community. But
Yeah.
This thing just, if you would have said this 6 months ago, oh, by the way,
right.
In 6 months, blah, 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 it would have been, what? That can't happen. It just can't happen.
Scott, real quick about your personal story, because you touched on it there for a moment, and I didn't know about this, and I'll probably get it incorrect, but a church I used to attend had done an interview with you and showed it at a service where I believe, did you have a brain tumor at one time?
No, I have a brain tumor right now.
Oh, you do right now? Okay.
Yeah, so if I stop talking, I'm just kidding. it's just one of those things where I had this childhood illness that went undiagnosed. I was in that hospital for 4 years. I started skating and miraculously kind of went away. And then years and years later, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. I made it cool before Lance Armstrong. years later, I was symptomatic again, and I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. They found out that I was born with it, which kind of explains my childhood illness, but I'm glad they didn't find it then because, healthcare in the mid-60s isn't what it is today.
Right.
So it came back 6 years later, and then it came back 6 years later. And each time, the first time it was treated with radiation, so my brain was baked in radiation, which is really fun and scary. And, I just you know, between chemo and that radiation, I really feel like I've lost a step or three. But then, you know, 6 years later, it came back in 2010, and then it was surgery, one that turned into nine. There was Jeez. Complications, and then got through that, and then 6 years later, it came back, and this one was different. This one wasn't met with faith or, well, it was met with faith, but it wasn't met with the same amount of desperation and fear. It was met with, okay, all right, it's back, so what are my options? Okay, here they are, and then all I felt was a voice just sort of in my head that said, get strong. And so I said, okay, what are we going to do? And they said, what do you want to do for treatment? I go, nothing. I'm just going to get really strong. And so for the last 4 years, I've been cleaning up my diet, working out. I've been, you know, staying away from, you know, sugar and things that the tumor likes. Mm. And it's been shrinking
wow.
on its own. So, you know, every now and then you got to listen to that voice in your head because it's probably an angel shouting at you to do the right thing. And with this particular episode, you know, it's been, you know, I truly understand that, you know, money, yeah, money is, it's frightening, you know, the amount of people that are out of work, all the, you know, the financial hardship that people are going through. But I'll remind them that, you know, money will come back. If we just put our head down and get the work done, we can retrieve or find a way to get that money back. But loss of life, we can't mess around with our health and, mm-hmm. and with the health of others. So, you know, since this whole stay at home thing, I've been, you know, again, because I'm immune suppressed a little bit and I've, you know, had all the chemo and all those things. I've just really just hunkered down at home and loved on my family and have been here to serve and really want to, you know, do my part and whatever I can to inspire the next person to kind of make those choices based not on, you know, their own, you know, kind of instinctual, you know, comforts or whatever. We're doing fine. I'm not trying to say that we, you know, we're fine. But the main thing is I don't want to be a part of the problem. I don't want to be that guy.
Well, you're being a part of the helping with the solution. You have the Blades for the Braves. It's a COVID-19 fundraising event. It's this Friday night at 8 p.m. And it's at bladesforthebrave.org. Explain what people will encounter if they access that.
Well, I think it's just a lot of the skating community, and it's like from all over the world. And, you know, I see like people like Miki Ando and Shizuka Arakawa from, you know, Japan, and then right. you've got Katerina Gorieva, Russian, you know, and you've got Mateo Rizzo from, they're from all over the world. Michelle Kwan, Dorothy Hamill. It's just a way for, you know, the skating community, which is very large and also very small and intimate, to come together to share a message, a piece of their lives, try to, you know, drive some fundraising for, you know, the people that need it the most. And the funding goes to AmeriCares. If people want to know more about it, and they go to AmeriCares.org and just, you know, learn more about what's happening. It's April 17th, 8 Eastern, 9 a.m. Japanese Standard Time. So this is a global event that is meant to raise money for COVID-19 relief. And, we do what we can, right? We do what we can.
Well, you listen, so this, and it's true, that anybody who's ever had any sort of medical issues, and you certainly have had a multitude. I had prostate cancer in 2014, and, and my mother has gone through stuff, and you talk about how amazing these people on the front lines are, and these nurses and these people that really get the job done, that roll up the sleeves or roll them down or whatever the protective level is. What they're doing is phenomenal, and any level of assistance we can provide is always wonderful. And but you do get a slightly different perspective when you've been in a hospital bed looking up at these people and saying, you know, what could you help me? What
help.
Can you do?
Help.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, this is a, you know, from everything I've been watching, I've been trying to learn about this. You know, it feels like this is almost a man-made virus. But it also, you know, viruses, you know, I don't know how squirrely this one's going to be, but, you know, these are things, you know, flu prevention, all those things, we can prevent the spread of this. We can also, you know, ultimately effectively find preventions and cures for this between vaccines and medications, you know, but I take a step back and, you know, I have a cancer foundation that's just ground to an absolute halt during this time because, again, right. the financial hardship and everything is on COVID right now. And I think that's the right choice. We got to focus on COVID. But for, you know, I'm looking at for every person that dies of coronavirus, there's 10 people dying of cancer. And so the work still needs to get done. Mm-hmm. So let's solve this problem as quickly as we possibly can. Get ahead of it for the next wave or next year if it wants to rear its ugly
head. And we will.
And we can stop it. Yes,
we will. There's great minds on it, and the mobilization has been amazing. So we're definitely on board with this. I have to ask you about this just to go off on another tangent here for a second.
Oh, absolutely.
I watch Collector's Corner. You were on the show. And you have some kick-ass stuff. You collect pinball machines, and you have some rocking pinball machines. How long have you been at that?
Well, it started in the early 90s. You know, there was I just got sick of video games. You know,
yeah.
They're kind of predictable, and so I started playing pinball, and it became like this really random thing where it just takes a little skill. And so I thought, oh, these are cool. And back then they were kind of. They weren't too expensive, you know, they were, but you get so much play out of them, it's a nice departure. My son and I do battle all the time, my little guy. So, so I started, like, these movie-themed pinball machines, and so I got one, and I go, oh, I like that one, but I want to get one more, and so, you know, I save up a little money, I fill up my wallet, I got another one. Oh, and I'm like, oh, and there's a new one coming out, which is really cool, I'll get that one. So then you trade them, and this whole pinball community is alive and well. I had no idea. That's, pinside.com has got all these community where people trade and sell and do all this stuff. And then I met a guy recently who has a big, huge shed in his backyard. He does all the plumbing for all the Cracker Barrels in the region. And he has over 75 arcade games.
How many do you have?
I have like four. I mean, I think
you had more on the show.
There was four. There were this four. There were like, I have a Star Wars. At Batman 66, which is really fun. I've got Dialed In, and I've got the Munsters, and those are all newer machines, but it's really fun to, trade back and forth. But the biggest collection, you know, was the guitar collection, because I love to support charities, and we go to a lot of these events. Nashville has become this really kind of this epicenter for philanthropy, and they have all these, silent auctions, and there's all these musical artists here, but when I lived in California, I went to a cancer fundraiser, and there was a Styx guitar and a ZZ Top guitar. And I'm a huge, classic rock guy. So I saw these guitars, and they were kind of reasonable. And so I bought them, and it was like, wow, these are really cool. And then it just sort of like ignited this. Okay.
You've got the collector's bug because you've got a couple. You've got sports memorabilia, but on the Styx run, Preston, you just posted or retweeted a video of was it Dennis DeYoung?
He was singing Best of Times, and because the lyrics are kind of apropos that was pretty cool. Yeah,
but it's really it's a great way to support charity, and then it's again my love of music, and my wife does a lot of work in Haiti, and so. She works with Sean Penn's organization. It's called CORE, and they're doing a lot of work through the tornado relief here in Nashville and a lot of COVID relief and everything else. They're an amazing organization. But there was, my favorite, Bruce Springsteen, and I never thought, a million years, I'd get a Bruce Springsteen guitar. I've actually gotten them for other charities, but I never thought I'd own one of my own. And it went up for auction, and, because I love Haiti so much and wanted help, she got it for me. And it's like, oh, boy, it's one of my prized possessions.
All right.
Was it one of his Telecasters, or what is it?
It's just it's an electric guitar.
Yeah.
And it's, he did a great job of signing it. Some, some aren't signed so great.
Like by Bruce Springsteen? Yeah.
But some, the ones that I have that I really love, I got a Kiss guitar, which is awesome.
What's the most valuable guitar that you own in your collection?
I would have to say right now it'd probably be my Eagles guitar because it's signed by Glenn Frey.
Wow.
And there won't be any of those anymore.
Yeah.
And, I've been really tempted to kind of like, oh, do I want to reach out to, former members?
And Don Henley and the rest?
Yeah. Well, Don Henley's on it, but it's like, It's Timothy B. Schmidt. Glenn, I'm a huge Joe Walsh fan. Don Henley and Glenn Fry signed it, but I'm thinking, well, Randy Meisner.
Don Felder.
I think if a Scott Hamilton call comes in and they, you know, for I think you'd get a response.
Well, I don't know, but anyway, it's fun to be able to know that, you know, just doing something I love to do.
Yeah.
Will help somebody that's really in need. Yeah. And that's kind of what the Blades for the Brave is all about. It's, you know, we did it. It was a very short video. My 12-year-old son helped me shoot it. And it's just sort of, you know, kind of what we're doing, you know, during this crisis and how we're getting by. And we've been, you know, it's like we've been so busy. All my kids are in travel sports. And it's like, how do we make that happen? And we're going from this practice
right.
to that game to this. And now, because none of that exists, we're actually sitting around the table having dinner every
right.
single night,
hey.
And we're praying, and we're creating these new family traditions, and it's been beautiful in that way. But also, you know, knowing that there are a lot of people fighting for their lives, we've got to do right. something.
Scott, by the way, one of the things, and we're kind of starting an informal poll because we're finding out a lot of people during the quarantine are baking banana bread, and we wanted to find out if you guys have done that.
No, I've got a lot of memes from, you know, buddies. We have all these, like, group texts and everything. And one of them is just showing before and after pictures of all the people that are just gaining weight during this.
Totally.
And I, you know, I'm back to oatmeal. I'm back to, you know, just, like, really just trying to keep it clean and lean. And I've been doing, I have a guy, Francis, that helps me work out, you know, a couple times a week. And we do that by FaceTime. And I'm just really trying not to put the weight on it so far.
So stay away from the banana bread then. You don't want to do that.
I'm trying to, like, that'd be really fun to make. And maybe we'll go there at some point. But, you know, right now.
Scott, by the way, you're not very tall. You're a petite guy. How much do you weigh? What do you weigh in at?
I'm about 127 right now.
127, man. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and wow. That's just, again, I can't give this tumor anything
nope.
it wants.
No, nope. You're doing right. the right thing.
You're doing the right thing.
And as an elite athlete, you've got the discipline to keep a handle on things, I would imagine.
Well, and plus, you know, my wife, because, you know, she's been kind of the one that, you know, puts her hazmat suit on and goes to the grocery store. The last thing I want to do is send her there.
Yeah.
So we've been trying, you know, I've got a 16-year-old son who's very athletic, and, you know, he's been eating as much as the rest of the five of us. So it's kind of hard keeping enough food
I'll bet.
In the house. But, you know, we're making it work, and I really applaud those people that are stocking the shelves and making sure that we have everything we need. And as long as, the supply chain, you know, holds up, you know, for a few more weeks, I think we're going to be okay. But,
yeah.
you know, the big, for us in Nashville, I don't know, it's really strange and weird that, you know, for a sign of wealth is having toilet paper in your home.
Well,
it went away like overnight. And so.
Well, just pick the pinball machine you like least and wipe with that.
Yeah, really. Wipe it down. But she went to Target the other day and she goes, okay, there was toilet paper on the shelves, and it's like, what?
Yeah,
well, that's the world we live in now, right?
Totally,
that shows
totally.
The turnaround.
All
yeah.
right, well, listen, Scott, we got to wrap, but we'll point people in the direction of the COVID-19 fundraising event called Blades for the Braves, and you can go to bladesforthebrave.org, and it's all the stars of the professional skating world, the world champions, and people like Scott will all be involved. But listen, man, it's great to talk to you. Continued, you know, working, having that health going the right direction, and maybe we'll cross paths again sometime down the road.
Remember, every day, you know, every day is what you make it. We got to live our days, and we've got to, you know, be considerate of each other. So,
excellent.
God bless you guys. Thanks right. for having me on. Stay well.
Hey, you too.
Thank you, Scott Hamilton, guys.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Nice guy. And he can talk.
He
man.
Can
he
talk.
He's going.
Yeah, I like that. I like. I do guess too. You can bring it.
Yeah. All right. So we should take a break because we have many more guests before the show is up. So when we return, we're going to get Donnie Most and Anson Williams on the show. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Really.
Ralph Malph and Potsy are going to be on the show. They have this show. It's called Harvest Time, where it's a program that they recorded on YouTube, and you can watch it now. And it's It's you've never seen them quite like this. It's,
they're cursing.
Yeah.
But it's yeah, it's interesting.
Potsy drops an F-bomb like right away.
A couple times.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a break, come back in a second. We got B-File, all that stuff coming up too. Don't forget MMR's Rock Refund. We'll return.
MMR's Rock Refund, $500, seven times a day.
That sounds friggin' awesome.
Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. to hear the hour's winning keyword to win $500.
You guys make my day.
For those who enter via our mobile app or our website, there's a $10,000 grand prize.
I'm sorry, I've been shocked.
MMR's Rock Refund.
I never won anything. This is incredible.
Brought to you by A&T Chevy. Chevy's always cost less in Sellersville.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
And
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
I'm excited to have these next guests on our show. I can't believe they're on together. They have a YouTube series, and I'm mostly happy for Casey because he finally gets to talk to the guy who sings the Pumps Your Blood song, which we have to hear all the time.
Yep.
Whenever. When do we play that? When do you
Any medical conversation.
Any medical conversation, anytime his birthday comes up, and basically any chance I can get to play it where it makes sense.
Okay. You love that song.
Yes.
We love these guests, and of course you remember them. Starting together in Happy Days, and they're back together again for the first time, as they have said in the little promo leading up to it. Please welcome Anson Williams. Williams and Don Moos.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you guys on. We have a really long delay, so it's going to be kind of tough to conduct the interview, but we will do the best that we can. I was watching some of Harvest Time, and Anson, the potty mouth on you.
Hey, it's the character. It's not me.
I know. It was actually kind of interesting to see and hear, to tell you the truth. But listen, as I had said, you know, you guys said together for the first time or together for the first time in a long time for the first time is how it was set up. I'm sure you guys have stayed in touch over the years, but when's the last time you worked together professionally?
Well, it's as a director, I was able to direct Don on a couple of network shows. But Harvest Time is the first time that we acted together since Happy Days. So it was just an unbelievable treat to be able to be together again. And honestly, even though they were different characters, different genre, it was like we never left. The chemistry was still there. The love was still there. The creative collaboration was still there. It was just a magical time to be able to do this show.
So it's a really cool little thing. It's a three-person play. You have you, Don, and you, Anson, and then also Beth Littleford. A lot of people know her from The Daily Show, and it's just this little character study. And Harvest Time has to do with the harvesting of a kidney. Either one of you can take it, but explain a little bit of what the story is about.
go ahead, Don.
Sure. Okay, sure. Well, Anson and I played brothers. He's my older brother, and we find out through the piece that I always felt like I was a little bit he was demeaning to me over the years and treated me kind of shabbily, and what happens is he's on dialysis in need of a kidney, and we find out that I promised him my kidney, being his brother. And then I show up this one day because I've always been kind of a scammer, you know, looking for a quick, sort of easy score. And I show up and he's saying it's getting to be that time, you know, harvest time where I'm going to need that kidney. And then I let him know, well, I got a better offer. and then it opens up a whole range of things that come up from the past. And, you know, that's where some of that language comes from, too. So it was a treat to play, to be with Anson, and as he said, but to be playing completely different characters in a darker piece, you know, the tone and the lines, everything.
That's
about
very
it
funny, by different. The way. It's very funny because when Don and then I find out not and when I ask him, you know, how we sold it, he tells me on eBay.
So
you can imagine the thrust of the show. So the show. I mean, we play totally different characters, but at the same time, and it's also emotional. And it was written by an award-winning playwright by the name of Fred Stropple. So we were very, very lucky in having just such an original piece.
And it has like a classic.
Don and I working together was amazing.
It has a classic sort of like, it's just a little independent film thing to it. And where did you shoot it?
Yeah. Oh, wow. We shot it at a condominium because it's all taking place, supposed to be in the apartment of Anson's character. And we shot it in a condominium in Venice, near Venice Beach, California. And we shot it. Anson did a fabulous job of directing it because it was a challenge when you have basically it's kind of like a one act play in one location. So you don't want it to feel flat and like it's a proscenium kind of a piece. So Anson designed a beautiful way of shooting it. So it's very cinematic and you feel like you're right there with everybody. So not only was the great dialogue that Fred wrote, but Anson brought a real dynamic quality to the piece as well. And the response we've been getting is fabulous, and people are saying, "Wow, in 2 minutes we forgot Ralph and Potsy." And let's get into it.
Nice. Well, listen,
I have to give Don accolades because directing it's one thing, but acting in it, and I hadn't acted in years, was another. And Don was very instrumental in helping me, with my character to make sure I was on target. And, and of course, Don is my best friend and one of the most talented people I know. I don't know if people realize what a performer singer he is. He did this CD called Mostly Swinging, I guess Amazon and iTunes, that is, you got to listen to this. I mean, not only does this man have the greatest heart, I think he's right there in the top five greatest American song performers in the country.
Wow.
I mean, Don Moe is sensational.
And have you guys ever considered doing a duet? Because obviously, Anson, you sing. We saw that quite a bit on Happy Days.
We do a little bit of that. But honestly, I went more behind the camera and I've gone into the entrepreneurial side of of life in terms of the business area, and it's Don's turn. It's his turn to shine. It's his turn to be on that stage and sing. And so I'm really there to support him.
Well, listen, with the accolades you just got, Don, I think you actually do owe Anson your kidney. So
I probably do. Well, you know what I'll do then? I'll do something else for him since he's been so nice. It's very timely, actually, with what we're all going through. But Anson's been in the product business, and he's got a fabulous product called Alert Drops. And during these times, it's found to be very helpful for the everyone's going through the isolation and cabin fever, and he could tell you a little bit more. But it's a fabulous product that actually works, and it's all natural. So I'll let Anson talk about it for a second.
Oh, I don't want to get it. But yeah, well, basically, it was developed by my uncle, Dr. Heimlich, before he passed, the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah, I'd heard that your uncle created the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah. Yes, Dr. Heimlich. He's my second cousin, but I've called him uncle since I was born. And basically, it started with drowsy driving because it was pretty catastrophic. But we found out people need to be alert all the time. And it's this natural, scientifically proven product that we just made a better scooter for. It's called Alert Drops. A little spray on the tongue, and the sensory connection of tongue and brain, the reflex reactions, adrenaline, you're up, you're alert, nothing in your system, nothing to hurt you. And we found out that with this, it's called isolation fatigue. We're all getting cabin fever, and people are drinking too much coffee. They're really overdosing on all the stuff that's not good for their system. And we're finding that Alert Drops is incredibly helpful, helping them get through this period and having clarity and kind of getting out of that fog. And truthfully, if they go to alertdrops.com, they can learn all about it. And, it's been honored by the U.S. Congress and California State Senate. It's quite a remarkable product that really was developed by my uncle, Dr. Heimlich.
I'm going to look into that. I can always use something like that.
I can always use something like that.
That, oh, it's fabulous.
I don't know if we have time.
I don't know if we have time, but the Pump the Blood, there's a great story that you brought up, the Pump the Blood, and Anson just did something with that.
Well, we re-recorded Pump Your Blood, but this time, instead of going pump, 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 it's like this, I gotta wash, I gotta wash, wash, I gotta wash, I gotta wash, wash, I gotta wash, I gotta wash my hands, I gotta wash, wash. We did it all for the coronavirus and how to protect yourself.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're putting, and right now they're editing, they're changing the music track and editing that into that same filmed spot.
Sequence.
Nice.
Very nice. Right.
Well, listen, gentlemen, our signal that we're getting from you is very difficult, so I'm going to wrap the interview, but we will make sure that people check out Harvest Time, the YouTube series, and Anson and Don are on that and working together. It's just cool to see you two back together. We thank you for your time. We got to get you guys in the studio. I think we'll have a much better time chit-chatting. Yeah. But good luck, and we appreciate the call, guys. Take care. So,
Monday,
it was cool having them on, but
it was just almost impossible. It was like you were talking to your grandparents. Not that they were my grandparents, but
Here's a text that says, Jesus tap dancing Christ. This is brutal.
so ask your question, and this is what it's like. So just ask any question that you would ask to Anson.
Okay, so how long have you guys been spending on, you know, working together?
Working together.
You can hear the last half of each question we ask coming back. And then easily a second and a half delay, which is an eternity when it comes to interview delays.
On the plus side, two horrible connections.
Right, that too. Yeah. Oh, man, what are you going to do? But listen,
we could have talked. I mean, because there's stuff we could have talked about. I wanted to ask about the Love Boat.
I know. And you don't know until... until you get on the air, how the signals.
They're nice guys, though. Too bad.
They're super nice.
It wasn't
guys.
Their fault.
No, and I would love to have heard some stories about happy days, but there's no way we would have been able to go back and forth like that. So, you know.
What was it like working on the Love Boat?
The Love Boat. All right, Case, are we doing the Bizarre File now?
The Bizarre File now.
Since we got Steve Zahn coming up at 10, and the.
Yes.
Rock Refund?
Yes. Rock Refund?
Okay, here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, here we go with the Bizarre File.
The Bizarre File.
All right, so a 58-year-old man is dead. The suspect, covered in blood, told police he had killed the Terminator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, then he's done his whole service.
Yeah, police were first made aware of the suspect, 54-year-old William Bradley, Friday afternoon.
You can let him go. He killed the Terminator.
Reports of a golf cart stolen from maintenance workers at the Jefferson School apartment complex. The property manager followed the suspect in the stolen golf cart, and he told dispatch the suspect had blood all over him.
Mm-hmm.
When police arrived on scene and arrested Bradley, the property manager told him that he lived in the apartment complex. Bradley stated he had been in a fight with the Terminator and killed him.
Your golf cart, give it to me.
Officers went to do a welfare check in his apartment.
I'm looking for John Connor. What hole is he on?
Due to the amount of blood on Bradley, and that's when police say they found 58-year-old Robert Carter's body. Investigators said the two did not live together or have prior relations. Bradley was taken to custody and sent to a hospital to take care of minor cuts, and he assaulted an ER doctor, two security guards, and an officer. So he has been charged with murder, obviously.
And be a five iron.
A teenager who was honking his horn incessantly in the middle of the night led police on a high speed chase before he was found in his underwear on the roof of a home. Police officers were called at 4:27 a.m. Residents were complaining of a driver at the Town Place Suites acting suspiciously. They found Brendan Ray Graves, 18 years old, sitting in a blue pickup truck honking its horn incessantly in the back parking lot.
He was in a Stanley Steamer, apparently.
Officers tried to pull the truck over, but Graves fled at a high speed. Police terminated the pursuit. They were leaving the scene when they saw the same truck heading south on northbound lanes on the highway. An officer saw Graves pull into a hotel and circle around the lot, now driving with a flat tire.
Whee! Guess what I get to do?
Several officers surrounded the truck as Graves tried to hit tried to exit the lot, but he was able to escape. He fled on foot. They found him around 7 a.m. on the roof of a garage in his underwear.
Hi!
Graves was arrested and turned over to police. He admitted to taking pills and drinking liquor before driving.
Oh, really?
He initially agreed to a blood test, but then changed his mind and refused. Officers obtained a search warrant and took a blood sample. And
listen, I know a lot of this seems crazy, but I'm okay now.
All right, one last story, because I want to try to stay on time here. In Baton Rouge, it's that time of year again when flies that bite and crawl into people's bodies infest areas with standing water in Louisiana.
Man. That's disgusting.
Residents should expect
shame on you, Baton Rouge.
These annoying little black flies to be around until the weather becomes warmer. The flies, also known as buffalo gnats, will try to crawl into people's ears, noses, and eyes.
I hate those effing things.
Insect spray, including those used for mosquitoes or other insects, are not effective on them. Jeez. Officials said female black
Thanks,
flies
nature.
Tend to bite people during the late morning hours. The department shared research on the insects from Purdue University, which explains that biting females use the blood meal to develop their eggs.
That's so disgusting.
It says that these particular flies have not been found to transmit diseases in humans.
Hey, a bonus. Do they transmit the COVID virus?
They haven't determined that as of yet. So, all right, and there you go. That's what I got in the bizarre file for you. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. When we return.
Oh, wait, no, that's my bad. Okay. Hey, let me just do this.
When we return, we'll play that little thingy for real and have your chance to win $500 with MMR's Rock Refund. And we are also going to have a crappy interview with Steve Zahn.
Yay! No.
All right!
We'll hope for a good phone line. And Steve's an interesting guy, and he's a member of the Wonders.
Yay!
From that thing you do, and they're getting back together. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so I want to thank our friends at Deli on 4th, opened in 1975. They've been feeding Conchi for almost 50 years. And their dedicated staff is the true definition of a deli family. You can order your Godfather hoagie to go and taste what they're all about. They use real Dietz and Watson meats and cheeses. And they dropped off a bunch of sandwiches for us this morning. So we do appreciate that.
Excellent.
They are open and you can order.
Support them.
Yeah, so we're getting our guest on the line. Wow, what do I do here? Because we're going to be in the middle of the interview while it's time for this.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to stretch for about 2 minutes and then...
Or do I just give him the word now? Marissa's kind of like gesturing to, is it too early, but you can't enter it for
you
two
could
more
say
minutes?
That. Yeah, I mean, well, listen, you can tell everybody the word.
Listen, because what our guest has going on is so cool.
Yeah, I don't want to break up the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let me do this real quick.
93.3 WMMR. Now, your rock refund keyword.
All right, I'm a minute and a half early with this, so
it won't
apologize.
Register until they enter it after. It has to be after 10 a.m.
All right, so you got to wait until 10. I'll reiterate after our interview, but the word is radio for you to enter, and you'll have 15 minutes after the hour starting at 10 o'clock exactly. Three ways to do that. You can text it to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you'd like to be automatically entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it on the MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest, and that person will get a call from Beasley, our company. So make sure that you do answer the phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com, and it's sponsored by A&T Subaru and Chevy in Sellersville. Don't forget, there's 7 chances to do that. We already have one earlier. This is our second one. And then we have at noon and 2 with Pierre, 4 and 6 with Jackson, and then at 8 p.m. with Jackie. So less than 60 seconds now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll be able to enter that word. And once again, it is radio. So hang on just a second because it's not going to count unless you wait until 10.
You've got a little bit of a jump.
So the word is radio. And you can
radio.
You can.
Who needs a radio?
You can text it to 45911. or you can do it for the $10,000 grand prize to be entered for that at the MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. There, I ate up enough time.
Yeah. Boom.
All right,
boom.
So we're good enough. All right, so our next guest, we're so excited to hear about what he and his fellow cast members of the movie, That Thing You Do, are doing.
Yeah.
It's so cool that they're getting back together for this event.
It's a great cause.
It's a live YouTube watch party to support Music Cares COVID-19 Relief Fund. It's on Friday at 7 o'clock. I need to play some music, but not what our guest is expecting. Yeah. I automatically start twisting when I hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Captain Geach and the Shrimp Track Shooters. Please welcome Mr. Steve Zahn to the show this morning. Hey, Steve.
Yeah. I love the Captain Geach.
Oh, man.
Shrimp Shack Shooters.
The best, man. hey, are you, so you and the guys, the rest of the members of the Wonders, are doing this on your own, or did this idea come from elsewhere?
No, this, Tom Everett Scott and I were talking last week, like this is a week ago.
Wow. Yeah.
And we were like, hey, you know what we should do? We should do like a commentary. We should, like, play the movie, and we just thought of it as being this little thing that we just would do for fun. And then we, you know, had a meeting with all the guys, and then it was like, yeah, let's see if we can do it on, let's start a YouTube page, blah, blah, blah. And now we're doing interviews and stuff, like, 5 days later. It's insane. It's grown so much. And, on Friday night, 7 Eastern, we're going to, you know, count down, start the movie. Everybody who's watching, do the same. And then we're just going to shoot the crap and have a couple guests. And it's just going to be, like, really loose and free and really fun.
You know what, Steven? And I think that the reaction and why so many people have gotten excited like ourselves is that we kind of see that group as a real band.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, it's such a fun movie. And the end of it, you know, tells you about their lives and what the characters went on to do. And we kind of look at the Oneaters, the Wonders, as the real thing, you know? Did you get that sensation?
Yeah, well, part of that, a lot of that has to do with Tom Hanks and Gary Getzman, the producer. And when we got together, when we initially were cast, we spent like a month playing music together. That's it.
Yeah.
We didn't read the script. We didn't work on character. We didn't do the things that usually do going into a movie. And the reason is we knew that it was going to be a really big gig, meaning a lot of cameras and a lot of big production. And Tom and Gary just said, look, we don't want to have to mess around with, oh, don't sit on Tom now. He's not on his drums. He's not doing it well. Or so we had to learn, you know, the songs to the point of where we could play them and they didn't have to worry about.
Yeah. Stuff. And you know how to play guitar. I mean, we saw you in Saving Silverman. You play in that as well. Do you play on your own for entertainment?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's therapy to me. I mean, I've done a lot of music stuff. I did a series called Treme on HBO.
Yeah.
And that was all musicians and stuff. So I'm the first to say that I am not a musician. I can imitate people playing guitar.
Right.
That is a big difference between being the real deal.
Right.
I mean, Ethan Embry, who plays bass, he's really good.
Okay. I didn't know that.
He was one of the only ones that was, like, you know, really good.
Hey, I wanted to ask about the version of the film you're going to watch, because I have seen some of the scenes that were taken out of the theatrical release that I think really shed a lot of light on the plot, because there's a scene where you guys go to, the band goes to a jazz radio station, and it's Clint Howard as the DJ. And
right.
I always wondered, why was that in the movie? And then when I saw the cuts that they took out, Guy in the recording studio after the band breaks up ends up sitting down with the Del Paxton, the jazz musician, and he calls the Clint Howard character and says, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. And he's like, hey, start recording them. Talk to him. Get this stuff on tape. And he does.
Right.
He records it, takes it back to him. And at the end of the movie, when he's sitting in the diner with Liv Tyler's character, Faye, he says he's got all these tapes there with him, and you just don't know what those are. And apparently he was going to become a radio jock.
Oh,
Right.
And I thought that was kind of a cool plot point left out of the movie. And there were some other scenes where you find out that that Mr. White is actually gay, and Howie Long is his gay lover.
I know, isn't that crazy?
It's awesome. aren't you surprised at some of the things?
Charlize Theron is in like a bunch of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of other people that didn't make the cut, but that's movies for it.
Yeah,
you
know. I guess so.
Well, since you're...
We're not going to do the extended one. We're going to do the actual release version. Just for time's sake. I mean, it's going to be 2.5 hours right there.
Well, the movie, honestly, is such a... people adore it. It's become that sort of thing because it's... And as Preston says, it's one of those rare movies that in time, it feels real to you. You know, the way I perceive Homer Simpson as being a real entity, this movie has that sort of aura about it. So when you guys get together, do you just immediately click back in? I mean, I know totally. You go off and do your different careers, but I assume that vibe is lasting.
No,
right?
This was a really unique experience on so many different levels. And honestly, we're really tight. And I can't say that about any other cast.
That's awesome.
You know, that I've been involved with. And it has to do with kind of this leg. Look, this movie missed, man, in the box office. We were third.
I remember.
Like behind the Something Wives Club and some other movie. And it was a real disappointment, but it has legs. And it has legs because it's just this kind of, I don't know, wholesome, really simple story. And, kind of a American myth. And it's... I mean, a lot of the movies I've done that people come up to me in the grocery store for were flops, you know, but for some reason.
Well, I'm a big fan of Reality Bites and, you know, and just you there. You're a part of a number of movies that capture moments in time and obviously some hits as well. But those movies can mean a lot. And with the Wonders, especially at this time with all that's going on, you need to take a step away from the news and let yourself turn yourself over to something that's going to make you feel good. So the fact that you're using this movie to do it is great.
Well, it works too. Adam Schlesinger, who wrote That Thing You Do, died last week.
Yes.
And he was really responsible for the movie, period. And, you know, Hank's having and Rita both getting it. I think it kind of spurred us and we were like, hey, let's just do something fun. I mean, look, I've like been a non-social media guy my whole life,
right.
And I just started like an Instagram just because there was this void of entertaining, you know what I mean? And I found, wow, I can do stupid crap, and you know, and I think that's, if there's anything, a silver lining in this whole thing, it's kind of brought people together in a weird way, and entertainment will always be there. It'll just shift and change, you know?
No, I agree wholeheartedly because honestly, listen, this is a serious thing going on, but there are elements, and if you don't look for those positive elements, then you're going to put yourself into a constant panic, and that shouldn't be the case because there's every reason to be encouraged by the way things are progressing. That's part of it. But you've been actually, and I've said this, we've many times on the show, I when I was going through a medical thing years ago, Modern Family was a show for me that really was kind of a diversion therapy. You were on Modern Therapy. I mean, Modern Family. It just wrapped up. Your experience on that show, and that had to be sort of bittersweet to see the show wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, I was a small part of that.
Yeah.
But that was a blast.
You got to play the absolute neighbors from hell.
Yeah, I played kind of mean in a weird way. I mean, I talked to the writers, and they were like, "What do you want to play? You know, what do you want to do? We just want to have you on." And I was like, "We're like, this is our idea. You're the neighbor with the boat and like the truck." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do that guy."
So. Yeah, and everyone could connect. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was cool.
What's the speculation on Tom or Rita maybe being a part of this? I know nothing's been announced on that.
I think it's pretty strong.
Oh, nice. and Liv is involved too. Liv Tyler.
Yeah. Lives in England, and I've been talking to her. It's like, she's like,
It took us an hour to figure out the world is round and it's different times.
So with Tom Hanks directing, and I say this is an important, you know, it was a cool thing from to be a part of that. And sometimes actors can transition and you know, do the directing thing. But he seemed to really get the best out of you guys. What was that experience like working with him?
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, he was still at the top of his game, but then it was just, he was surrounded by just amazing people. And Tom is like our dad, man. I mean, not only did we learn, you know, the tricks of the trade, but I mean, I remember one day we were late, like 4 minutes, you know, to set. And he brought us all into a trailer and he sat us down and he said, okay, that's the last time that'll ever happen, in a really nice kind of funny way. And we thought, yeah, we won't be late tomorrow. And he said, no, for the rest of your lives.
Wow.
Don't be late. And, you know, it was that kind of stuff that we really adhered to, that advice. And to this day, I mean, once you're a part of the Playtone family, you're just part of it. You know, it sounds corny, but yeah, it's true. And I talked to those guys a couple months ago.
That's great.
And it was, you know, that just doesn't happen in this business. Or it does, but on personal levels, not on a company level.
Steve, do you remember the fate of your character, Lenny, at the end of the show, what they said he went on to do or have happen?
Yeah, I go to Laughlin, don't I?
I'm not sure where. I know that you were a used car salesman. Or no.
Yeah, I think I'm a casino.
Guy. Yeah, a small casino.
Yeah, but it's not even in Vegas. It's like in Las Vegas.
Yeah. But that works. That works. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. No, I loved your character, and they all had their, you know, in fact, you know, Tom's character, Mr. White, puts it, he's like, you know, Lenny's the fool, you know, yeah, you're the Tom, right, you know, the, so Jimmy's the talent and you're the smart one, and it all kind of plays perfectly. Everybody, all those characters had a great role and it fit right in this nice little package. It's cool that you guys are getting together to do this. It's, you know, a sad occasion with Adam passing, but I think everybody's going to enjoy and appreciate your look into the movie.
Yeah. And then hooking it up with Music Cares, which is, trying to raise money for them. That really takes care of music industry people.
There's so many, honestly, going on right now, there's so many people that are peripheral to the shows and to the music that we love who are really, you know, really in dire straits. So to do something like this is critically important. We're going to make sure people support it and watch it. And just on a basic level, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. And I can't wait.
And Steve, we're doing an informal poll with a celebrity guest during the lockdown, during the quarantine. Have you made any banana bread?
Oh my God, we've made a, I was gonna swear, I'm not,
an S load.
A lot.
You've made a,
really?
You have made a lot of banana bread.
No,
okay.
I'm not even a big banana bread guy, but yeah, I'm like eating a lot of banana bread.
We have found that banana bread is the pandemic food of choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. I feel like we're in 1881. Go to town. Yep, saddle up the horses.
You know, we're going into
we're
town.
We're just gonna drive through town and look at it.
You're right.
And everybody's into it. You know, like,
oh yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do. What day is it? I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's time for
month it is.
Banana bread time. Yeah, you'll see these artists, even like these death metal artists, will post pictures of banana bread that they've made.
Mm-hmm. But I don't like the chocolate chips. I got to say, there's too many chocolate chips.
I
have a big battle here.
You have to put
and
me.
I have my daughter's vegan.
Oh.
So, wrap your head around that.
I have to. My kids are such.
What?
That's the only time I've chimed in for this whole interview when I ruined it. No, I said my kids are such picky eaters that when I make things, I have to make different sections for each child, right? So, like, my kids don't like nuts, so I had to, you know, I have to, all right, well, this side doesn't have any nuts, or this side does, or this side doesn't have any.
Oh,
F
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, you need to put the foot down.
Exactly. I'm with Steve on this one.
Yeah.
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 No, I...
Well, listen, the event is it's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on YouTube. I'm going to be watching this. I can't wait for something like this. So thanks for doing it, Steve. We appreciate it. It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for helping us spread the word.
Anytime. Steve's on, guys. Yeah! Take care, man. Have a good one. Oh, man. That was so cool. I love it.
Banana bread,
and a
man.
Banana bread. It's what's bringing us all together.
And you know what, though? I haven't had any banana bread.
Really?
We got to change that.
So my wife has been stepping up, though. Her brownies are world class.
I think I'll make banana bread this weekend.
I did it already. I'm going to do a second batch because I didn't quite perfect it.
So okay. Tomorrow's her birthday, and I'm going to pull a move. She loves nothing but cakes,
uh-huh.
And they do have takeout.
Oh, good.
So all right. I'm do that.
I love those things, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, my bananas, I think, are ripe for the making now, and I got the special secret Betsy McElwain recipe.
Really?
Yes, the from-scratch banana bread. So I will probably be making it this weekend as well.
So I'll be glad to accept your gift of some.
When this is all over, everybody's wondering what we'll be doing when this is all over, yes. When the quarantine is lifted. Banana bread bake-off.
Absolutely.
I'm saying it right now.
Right now.
We got to find out who's done the best.
Yeah.
So when we can gather again, ladies and gentlemen, someone write that down. I'm not going to write it down myself.
No.
Write it down.
Because I'm not
going to do that.
Those pens are heavy.
Yeah. And someone else come up with all the details and everything, but I just want you to know.
Someone else do it.
We're going to do a banana bread bake-off.
Or you're going to do it, and we're going to watch.
I'm going to do today's lesson question. We are going to do that. And we're going to give away a digital download of Doolittle, starring Robert Downey Jr. And where I don't have the question.
Who, where, what?
Well, I'm looking for the questions.
Your emails.
I don't have them. Nick, you want to ask a question?
Sure. You want an early one or a late one?
We've done the last two have been early, so let's go with one that's been a little bit later.
All right. I'm going to go with a very recent one. When on the golf course, what iron is the Terminator's club of choice?
Wow. Okay. That was just a little while ago. Let's see if you were paying attention. 215-263-WMMR. So while on the golf course, what club does the Terminator need?
Yeah, what iron is the Terminator's club of choice?
All right, 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it is brought to you by Gwinnett at Mercy University. Their graduates have helped make the world a better place. Teachers, police officers, business leaders, nurses, and other compassionate care professionals. They put the Mercy in G Mercy U. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Cannes Film Festival officials saying it will not be held this year in its, quote, original form. Organizers say that due to the coronavirus, they are having difficulty stockpiling enough pomposity.
Hey!
NBC Universal's long-awaited streaming service Peacock has been forced to launch with a limited slate of shows due to production delays. The media powerhouse issued a statement to their stockholders saying they are good on the pee but short on the cock.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Angelina Jolie telling California Surgeon General that she used to cry all the time when she saw any kind of pain and suffering in the world. Jolie says it took a long time to learn how to process it, but now pain and suffering make her belly laugh. And that's your Hollywood trip.
All righty. We shall see if someone knows the answer to this question. When playing golf with the Terminator, what iron does he prefer? 215-263-WMMR. And I'm going to go to Eddie. Hey there, Eddie.
What's happening, guys?
Yeah, bud. So what iron would you hand to the Terminator?
Was it the 5-iron?
It was.
Yeah! Good for you.
Hang on, Ed. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a digital download of Doolittle, starring Robert Downey Jr. in the hilarious new reimagining of a classic tale about the man who can talk to animals. Embark on an epic journey and bring home the movie All the Animals Are Talking About, available now on digital, Blu-ray, and on DVD.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Let's start with Pearl Jam and Soundgarden drummer Matt Cameron, who has unveiled a new solo track and lyric video called Down the Middle. The track is from a new album it's a solo album that Cameron recorded last spring with the help of Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins and members of the Melvins.
The Melvins. We go back with the Melvins, Preston.
We do. We had them and Leif Garrett in our studio. The as-yet untitled LP is Cameron's second solo outing following 2017's Cave Dweller. He's also recorded with smaller acts like Wellwater Conspiracy and Hater, in addition to both Pearl Jam and Soundgarden. That guy works a lot. Tool drummer, right? We got some great drummer stories. Tool drummer Danny Carey and bassist Justin Chancellor, along with Korn drummer Ray Luzier and legendary bassist Billy Sheehan and others, are teaming up with the Berklee College of Music to present a special live-streamed webinar about bass and drums.
Wow.
And these are the heavy hitters, man, right here. This is awesome. It's presented by the famed school's bass department. The interactive zoo event will explore the evolution of their musical journeys and the drum-bass relationship while providing education, conversation.
No, it's constipation.
And constipation, along with career advice and gig stories.
Berklee School of Music is one of the... Like Steely Dan, they teach a Steely Dan course there, legendary Steely Dan course.
John Mayer went there.
Yeah.
Mayer?
John Mayer.
Wow.
The free public webinar goes live on Thursday, today, at 1 o'clock.
Today's
Eastern
Thursday.
Time, so in a little while. Well, I was thinking today, it said April 16th. I wasn't sure that was it. Yes.
Speaking of drummers, not to tip the hand too much or anything, but there have been some really cool submissions in Isolation Idol by drummers.
Okay.
And I'll be very interested to hear your perspective on them because from my eye, from the judging committee's eye, it's pretty impressive stuff.
Excellent. Well, we will find out about that next week. Awesome. Godsmack frontman Sully Gurna says he got a little bit of trouble after he discussed the passing of Rush drummer Neil Peart. In a recent radio interview, Erna had said in January that he knew about the private battle with brain cancer that took Peart's life earlier this year, claiming in a January interview that Neil was in a wheelchair and couldn't speak for much of the last year of his life.
Oh.
Asked about that, he said, you know, I can't comment on that. I did before, and I got myself in a little bit of trouble. I was close with him. I was close enough with him. He actually did the honor of giving us maybe his last on-camera interview ever in his life. And, of course, we had no information at that time. I just knew him, and he was a nice guy, and I reached out. 3 days after he made those remarks about Peart's condition, Donna Halper, the woman credited with discovering Rush while working at an Ohio radio station back in 1974, said it was inaccurate to say that Neil was unable to speak in the months leading up to his death. He passed away January 7th of this year at the age of 67.
So what was his condition at the end?
I don't know.
Okay,
they're keeping that private. So he was an incredibly private person. So who knows? Billy Joe Armstrong / and Duff McKagan plus Nikki Sixx were among the artists paying tribute online to New York punk stylist Jimmy Webb, who died of cancer on Tuesday at the age of 62. Webb was best known for his work as a manager and buyer at the punk shop called Trash and Vaudeville. And as the owner of the rock clothing shop, I Need More, and he addressed several generations of rock and punk icons. He outfitted musicians ranging from members of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band to the first wave of 1970s New York punk rockers. I'll bet you Jackie owns some stuff from him.
Oh, yeah.
Others who noted Webb's death included Iggy Pop, Joan Jett, Blondie's Debbie Harry.
Jim Gardner.
Jett wrote, "I am so very sad. And we will all miss your energetic, warm soul. The city will not be the same without you."
Huh.
Billy Joe Armstrong said, "This is a heartbreaker. Jimmy, you are a treasure of New York, always a positive energy." McKagan remarked, "The sweetest man and pure punk effing rock and roll. Jimmy had such a story, and my family and I feel honored and loved to be a small part of his triumphant tale. We love you, Jimmy. We miss you, brother." Webb grew up in upstate New York, moved to New York City in 1975. Spent more than a decade and a half working at Trash and Vaudeville, which he dubbed Rock and Roll Heaven before opening his own boutique, I Need More, 3 years ago. And in fact, in 2013, Vogue had called him the punk rock unofficial shopkeeper. So it was a big deal in those circles.
Yeah, sounds it.
Slipknot's number 9 Iowa Whiskey Reserve was chosen as 2019's Best Celebrity-Related Whiskey by...
Yay!
By Forbes magazine, as noted in taster Fred Minnick's Best American Whiskey, A Taste Off.
How many celebrity whiskeys was it up against?
Well, there's several of them, but I'm not sure how many it was up against. Minnick, who also gave out accolades in categories such as Best Wheat Whiskey, Best Barrel Finish, and others, sat down with Slipknot percussionist Sean Crayon great two-part podcast, the first of which can be streamed now. The second installment will be out on Friday. The liquor goes on sale for the first time this year on Friday with pre-orders available now. And Slipknot No. 9 Iowa Whiskey Reserve is currently available in the U.S. only, but will be available for purchase in other territories soon. They're not the only rock band with their brand of whiskey. Metallica has one called Blackened. Alice in Chains has one called All Secrets Known.
Right.
And Motorhead has special edition releases, among others. So there's quite a few out there.
Who was was it Motley? No. Was it Metallica? What did Metallica have, a beer, or what did they issue?
Yeah, they had a beer as
well.
It
was a beer. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Journey's 1981 classic Don't Stop Believin' has become an anthem for hospitalized patients recovering from coronavirus. Blabbermouth.com reports that the song gets blasted at Detroit's Henry Ford Hospital and in the Big Apple at New York Presbyterian Queens Hospital as patients slowly recover.
It's pretty amazing to see it.
Veronica Hall, a resident nurse and president of the Henry Ford,
the president of the Henry Ford,
told the Detroit News the song is a sign of hope, a reminder to patients to never give up, and a motivational thank you to tired, never stop trying team members as well.
It's very emotional to see the, yeah, especially because someone has made it through. It's unbelievable.
The song's co-writer, Steve Perry, said, I wanted to share a little bit of cheer from the New York Presbyterian Queens Hospital in New York. They play Don't Stop Believin' every time a COVID-19 patient is discharged, and we're all in this together, and we'll get through this together, Don't Stop Believin'. Also, Jonathan Cain, who co-wrote that song, posted a message and a video saying, love this from the hospital in New York City, where people are being released after being beating COVID-19 while they played our songs.
We have a ritual here that when we finish the food from a meet and eat, we play Space People.
Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, they don't come from Earth. They're from space, you know, so. And there you go. Speaking of a meet and eat, I want to thank Deli on 4th for dropping off food this morning. You can get your takeout order today from your local Real Philly Deli and support local businesses. Deeds and Watson is a family thing, of course, since 1939. So let's take one final break. Come back in a second. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. We're getting so close to giving that away. We'll be right back.
Monday nights at 9, join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for a kick-ass concert clip, a live performance, Metallica moment. In conjunction, Metallica is releasing an entire concert recording available for your streaming pleasure right here at WMMR.com. Rock's reigning kings with MMR's nighttime jester, Jackie Bam Bam, every Monday night at 9.
Hey.
So when dinner's done, break from the TV and rock your smart speaker. It's Metallica Mondays with 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Today has been a lot of fun.
It has been, regardless of some bad phone connections.
Yeah, we don't need to dwell on that, but we do need to dwell on this. Richard has something to tell us. Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, can you play that, please?
Richard.
There it is. Hi, is this Richard?
Yes, it is.
All right, Richard, what do you want to tell us, man?
I wanted to say that I just won $500 from WMMR.
Shut your mouth! Richard, that's awesome!
Nice job, my man. $500. And Richard, where do you listen from, sir?
I am listening from the MMR app.
Oh, from the MMR app.
Okay, all right, excellent.
But we hear that you're in Virginia, I think.
Yes.
Awesome.
I am in Alexandria, Virginia.
Excellent. And what do you do, Richard? What's where are you working these days?
I am working from home.
All right. Well, good on you, sir. Well, we are happy and delighted to give you that $500 cash prize. And we appreciate you for listening, man. Thanks so much. And hang in there, okay?
No, thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate
you. You bet, man. Yeah, Richard, congratulations. That's how you do it, right there. That is how you do it. And he did it through the app. If he's listening through the app and he entered through the app, that means
Richard's
going to be qualified He's in the running to win $10,000.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. I mean, you have the option, but that's the way I would go.
Next chance is coming up around noon, and Pierre will get to that in a little bit. I would like to take a moment and thank some guests on the show. We had Chris Geisens, who is the CEO of Wawa. Let us know that Wawa Day is today, and they're making all these wonderful donations, and they have free coffee for what they call the, you know, the frontline workers,
yes.
The doctors and nurses, healthcare providers, and so on. So it was great to talk to Chris and hear what they are doing. Scott Hamilton,
yeah.
The world champion ice skater, was on, and he and other members of that community, I mean, all the big names, are going to get together on Friday to broadcast live on bladesforthebrave.org, and they're raising funds, obviously, for COVID-19 relief and helping people out. We had a difficult time talking to because of the phone line, but still it was nice to have Donnie Most and Anson Williams on the program. And they have a YouTube program, or not program, it's a movie. It's like a 30-minute short,
yeah,
called Harvest Time. So if you want to check that out, that's on YouTube. And Steve Zahn was on, one of the wonders, and they are watching the movie. The cast is going to be watching the movie. It will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You can go on YouTube, and I think it was on YouTube, wasn't it?
Yes, YouTube.
And you can watch along with them as they do commentary. I mean, all the whole gang, and most likely Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. He was kind of tongue-in-cheek about it, but he's like, yeah,
of course they're going to be on.
So it's really cool, and they're doing a fundraiser as well, and that's for the music industry, the people that are affected from the quarantine from the music industry.
Right.
And they're also celebrating Adam Schlesinger, who wrote the songs from Fountains of Wayne for That Thing You Do, which is cool.
Who passed from coronavirus.
Yep. Pierre is indeed here. How you doing, man?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yesterday, at this time, we announced that Gene Shea had passed, and in point of fact, he had not passed, and still is with us. The Folk Song Society had made a mistake in posting that yesterday.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh my God!
I retracted it about an hour later when reports came in. So I mean, he's still not in good shape. So prayers and love and energy.
Oh.
To him, but as of you reported it correctly, because it had been in fact in the Inquirer.
Yeah.
It turns out that he is still with us. So someone released that information from his family that got to the Folk Song Society, that got into the public media.
Well, that is a more positive outcome. So we'll take that.
Yeah, we'll take that. Yeah. So just a. I wanted to make
programming
that
note.
Programming note. I guess you could say. I think Gene would appreciate that.
Wow. Okay. So, but he's in ill health.
Yeah. He's still not in good shape. But who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, so there you go.
By the way, we'll keep him in our thoughts.
Yeah. We found an old ID. Remember, we played the vintage ID.
Right.
From him, it was the one with the soda and all that in. We found another one. Would you mind if we play this one for you?
I would not mind.
Okay, here. Maybe you might want to use this one. Here we go. We're 93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia, the radio station.
Wow, yeah, which man. It's wild.
They would have played that back in the 60s.
Unbelievable.
That's clearly fornication going on.
That announcer, I remember hearing about that guy. I think his name was Tom Thompson.
We are 93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia, the radio station.
Kathy's actually laughing.
It's theater of the mind, really.
Well, that's what they all were, Nick. They were all theater of the mind.
Yeah. You're
creating an image, yeah.
Yeah, very much
like
so.
This one.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You've kept a clear image of a glass and ice and a beverage.
Philadelphia.
And Gene Shea taking a drink right here.
The radio station.
But in that recently unearthed one that you just played,
mm-hmm.
Are they?
They're having a soda.
What are they? I mean, it's clear what they're doing.
They're clapping cheeks.
Oh, I thought it sounded like people were.
We're 93.3.
Okay, now.
Oh, you hear it now?
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
I just needed some
the
help.
The radio station.
Honestly, by the way, have you ever had to? I mean, it's like the excess of the porn industry.
Oh yeah, they're going. They're working.
What are you doing?
They're not making a baby.
Yeah, okay? No, there are blacksmiths that don't hit it that hard.
That's not making love.
No,
no, no. It's making horseshoes.
No, you know what though?
But have you ever had a night that sounded like this?
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Time to wrap the show up.
And now let's get to the letter.
What I didn't know that, you know, during Top Gun, that whole take my breath away part, right, that it starts off like, oh, beautiful and everything, but it always ends like that. You know what I mean?
No.
No?
Was there a scene
in Top Gun?
Oh,
no.
You're saying romance.
It always starts off nice and soft.
Yeah. And ends with. Eventually, it ends up.
What is that sound?
Okay, letter of the day?
I was thinking that.
Okay.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston, he looks disgusted.
Well, it is disgusting, but that tells you you're doing it right.
I'm sad, not disgusted.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
M as in madness.
All right, and we got one more letter to go tomorrow. We're going to give away a $300 Duncan E. gift card. You can send a hero that you know a little thanks for the Duncan E. gift card by visiting DuncanCoffeeBreak.com. For every gift card purchase, Duncan's going to donate $1 up to $100,000 to the Duncan Joy in Childhood Foundation Emergency Funds that goes straight to nonprofits helping families affected by coronavirus. You can visit DuncanCoffeeBreak.com and send your hero a Duncan E. gift card today. What do you have on the show today, Sa?
Well, more chances for $500 in Rock Refund at noon and 2 p.m., and workforce blocks of the Black Keys, and also Collective Soul, and I believe we're going to get a Grateful Dead block in, but Collective Soul, we're going to check in. You guys gave me the idea. You've been checking in with celebrities and comedians and seeing how they're doing. It occurred to me it might be fun to check in with some of our longtime band friends.
Yeah, sure.
In a similar vein. So Ed Roland of Collective Soul. He and one other member of the band and two other friends happened to have been in Florida and got locked down in Florida and just started recording and made four incredible songs. He's a very talented songwriter.
He is.
Really can create these upbeat, catchy songs, one of which I will play. But we'll chat with Ed Roland in the 1 o'clock hour. So that'll be fun.
Excellent.
Of Collective Soul.
All right. And Kathy, somebody wants to point out that those people that we played the audio of are just playing Parcheesi.
Right.
That's all they're doing. I want to thank our sponsor.
Me and Kathy.
Today. Oh, wow. Wow.
You just jumped in on this ridiculousness, really?
These two will have to sit with their counselor later on.
Therapy's at 3 p.m.
I want to thank Acme.
But it's Zoom.
You can enjoy convenience of ordering your groceries online, having them ready at pickup time, convenient for you. And you can go to online or shop.acmemarkets.com. Let me say that again. The address, the thing that you type in is shop.acmemarkets.com. Tomorrow on the program, should be cool, we have our friend Kate Flannery. What happened with her, Nick?
She got confused as to what time zone she is. I'm not kidding. So she was very apologetic and wanted to make it up to us, and tomorrow works out for her.
All right, we'll do Kate tomorrow. Astronaut Mike Massimino is going to be joining us. And Candace Cameron Bure will be joining us.
I love Candace Cameron Bure.
I do, too.
Of the Hallmark Channel.
And I think we're going to play the reverse audio game tomorrow.
Yes.
So we have some new ones. We got to come up with a new name for that. So we'll have that all packaged and ready to go tomorrow. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
So I'm an essential worker driving around with my mask on. It's sunny. I got my sunglasses on. I got my hat on. I look like I'm straight up ready to rob a bank. And I have enough antiseptical wipes to make me smell like an alcoholic. So when I get pulled over by a police officer, please understand.
Next message.
I just had a great idea. I just want to try this.
Next message.
The way I see it, essential guys like me that got to go work in this all get $10,000. That's what they should get. $10,000 for essential. You didn't even work in this. Pay me.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.